from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go. Darling, have no place to go.
610. Hello. Hi. Fine. You?
Yes, I'm going.
This is show number 1300. Congrats. Happy 1300th show.
Yes, I'm going.
Dave. It's a milestone.
Dave, I got to say something. Dave, and it. Been here for all 1,300. Hey, can you imagine putting up with me for 1,300 shows? Good for you, man.
I've enjoyed every... Okay, well, there might have been a show or two I didn't enjoy, but I'd say 1,293 I really love.
Yeah, but those other seven.
Yeah. Well, you know.
I have commissioned a local artist to do a medallion for you. It's a bald heart.
I like
medallion.
That.
Wait a minute. I think I'm closer to being
I haven't
here
gotten
more
to you.
Yeah, because Dave's always gallivanting around the country.
He's in front of me. Mary, you also get the same award
for
putting
you
up with me for 1,300 shows. And that's the list. That's everyone who put up with 1,300 shows. Let's do the top six at six. Ready, set.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
As you just heard, the good news from Tim McGill, it's going to be 30 below wind chills tomorrow morning when you wake up. So let's talk about the tropical temperatures that are out there today. The good news is, and this is good news, it's not November, it's January. It's almost the end of January.
That's the good news.
That's the good news. We got 6 weeks of this left. Forget about your groundhogs. We got 6 weeks of this left. We'll be okay. There's got to be a morning after, but it's going to suck. It's going to suck for a few days. It's going to be crazy cold. Throw a little snow on it. There's ice all over the place.
We did get a late start, though, Steve. So
that's what I'm saying.
We could have a later winter than
that. Oh, don't
just
say that.
Oh, no, that's not what I'm saying.
I'm just saying.
That's not what I'm saying.
Counterbalance. It's a counterbalance. Steve and Steve.
If you say that this is November on Mother Nature's clock, sure, she's on crack. But
We had snow in November. Our kids had a snow day in November. Yeah,
there was big snow in November, nothing in December.
That's what I'm worried about, nothing in December.
Well, it's not going to go till June, he said, hoping it's not going to go till June.
Wow, from your mouth to Mother Nature's ears.
Next.
I would not be surprised.
Warmer climates, crazier times. Venezuela is a hot mess. The Venezuelan government doesn't exist as it did yesterday or the day before. And yesterday and the day before, it was a tragic mess as well. President Maduro has been, for all points and purposes, removed. The opposition leading candidate that was taken out in a fraudulent election back in May, I think, of last year. He has declared himself to be president of Venezuela.
Young kid, actually, 35 years old or so.
I like the fact that he goes, I'm it. I'm it.
What I find interesting about that story is there's a possibility, and this rarely happens in our modern world, that there could be parallel governments going at the same time, because Maduro has control of all the services and won't relinquish that control. And then you have on the other side, I forgot his name, but the guy who's taken over the opposition leader, who would be the leader of the people. So it's a very interesting and dangerous situation.
Yeah, and it won't last. It won't last. It's got to go one way or the other. And here's the problem. There are, I think, 3 million people now that have left Venezuela. It's a country that's physically bigger than Iraq. And in the region itself, we don't need an Afghanistan in South America. Where people are schooled to understand that we are the problem. We also have those 3 million refugees. Those are human beings. They got to go somewhere.
And the people inside of Venezuela have been literally starving to death.
Yeah, eating out of dumpsters. Yeah. It's a beautiful country that not long ago was one of the great countries in the region and in the world that has been taken over by thugs and driven into the ground. By the way, we buy more oil than Venezuela and than anywhere else as well.
The largest oil reserves in the world.
Yeah.
And they said that all the American people have 72 hours to leave, but then our government said that they're going to ignore that.
That's a really dangerous play to make. They can't kick out our diplomats because of international law, but do you want to stay?
The one thing I think is good is that the president and the administration in the United States of America have announced and publicly announced the opposition leader as who they see the right.
And Canada's on board, and
the whole world, the Western world,
some other countries as well. So there needs to be an internal coup of a more intense nature, and it appears to be underway. Thousands and thousands of people in the streets.
But I'm glad we're talking about it, because a lot of times in our own immigration debate, especially when we talk about the southern border, we never talk about the causes of why there are caravans and why people are coming in mass numbers to the southern border. And when you have a situation like this in Venezuela where millions of people are affected, you can understand if you're starving in your country why you'd want to leave.
There's hundreds, if not thousands, of Venezuelan families in Chicago and around Chicago who, you know, are hurting because of what's going on back home. Next, Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle said, "Did I do that?" Apparently, she said she did talk to Alderman Ed Burke before hiring his son to a $100,000 a year job to get him out of some trouble that he was in at the time. You know, for somebody who's been around politics for a fair amount of time, she is running an incredibly ham-handed campaign. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff that keeps getting uncovered.
They seem to keep giving. She just keeps getting negative headlines.
Yeah. But all legitimate stories. It's not like people are out to get her. They're going, okay, yeah, no. You also did this.
But I wonder, I also wonder in a big story this morning, the Danny Solis, the former alderman, wearing a wire. You know, and I it's not even that. That part, I'm like, wow. But the response and the reaction of aldermen who say, you know what, we have no snitch policy, essentially. You saw Roderick Sawyer from the 6th, or even Matt O'Shea.
The last thing we need is people finding out what we're doing over here.
It makes you, think that they're some privates, they're the mob.
They're operating like a gang.
Elected officials.
Exactly, the mob. It's like, we're family, they said. We don't talk about family.
But how about the fact that he said that out loud, like he was right? It's okay.
I'm amazed idiotic. That aldermen think that way. It's a head scratcher, especially since a lot of authorities are mad at street gangs and people down in who are in the middle of violence who won't snitch when they see a shooting, and we act like that's the biggest issue in the world. And then you have your elected officials.
You remember
the same exact thing.
You remember that old saying, and I think it's more true than ever: aldermen get stitches.
That's the old saying.
Yeah, aldermen get stitches. Danny Solis, in case you missed the story, leading a Hispanic caucus and very powerful alderman in his own right, apparently got busted by the FBI, and he said, "How about I wear a wire?" Wore a wire and recorded Ed Burke's conversations, and he and Ed Burke had been politically close for a long time.
It makes a lot of sense to what Danny Solis has been doing with his political career as he was stepping down.
Yeah.
But it just makes you wonder, if it's not Ed Burke, who are they going after? Because if they're trying to flip, who is the big fish that they're going after? Who else is stepping down and not
could it be? What powerful Democrat? You know,
who's not doing reelection campaign this year?
Well, I don't know if that's the case. I do. There's a guy in Springfield who ought to have a little pucker going on.
Steve, can I tell you, our listener, Rena Kalenka, she said, to pronounce the name of the new Venezuelan president, say Y with a G in front of it. Guay.
Guay?
Why, and then do,
oh, okay, there you go,
and then do as in the musical scale do re mi, oh, with the emphasis on the do.
Okay,
so Guido.
So it's like Guido if you mispronounce it.
So Guido, but Guido.
Guido is like a Star Wars character that you find in the cantina.
Next, President Trump has taken a delay. He says, "I'm taking a time out." He will not do the State of the Union until the government reopens. And you can argue all day about whether Nancy won or what he won. The important thing is the government needs to reopen. And Michael Cohen has suspended his congressional testimony. He says he has been intimidated and threatened, and he won't put his 80-year-old father-in-law or his wife through that. So whether you like Michael Cohen or not, and I don't know how many people like him, or you think that he's a thug or not, remember, he lied for the president. That's why he's going to go to jail. And now he's not testifying to Congress because the president is threatening him, because the president controls the Justice Department. Other than that, things are good. Next, Mitch Trubisky said the Bears' playoff loss was kind of heartbreaking, but he said he feels good about going to his first Pro Bowl. Good for you, little Mitchie. And shave the beard. Next, Oscar Mayer is hiring new drivers for the Wienermobile, and who says there's a job problem in this country? The Wienermobile. You know what the Wienermobile is? It's jobs other people don't want to do. But I'm telling you, there's people lining up to be in the Wienermobile. I heard this on the Bill and Wendy show. That was breaking news on the Bill and Wendy show.
And the Nick show last night.
Yes, we talked about it this morning. So my daughter went for that job when she was a senior in college.
Didn't get it?
No, she made the final cut.
Background check problem?
Maybe driving test? You know, it's hard to drive a hot dog.
Yeah.
Wait.
But it's hard to drive a hot dog, Joe. Isolate it.
Now you have to be a college grad to be able to drive.
But Dave, tell him how she was accepted on Jeopardy show, but she didn't get accepted to drive the Wienermobile.
She won money on Jeopardy, but turned down for the Wienermobile.
She was turned down for the Wienermobile, which I was actually kind of happy about.
Life is funny.
I didn't really want to drive it around.
A potential candidate should have a college degree in communication, public relations, and be creative and enthusiastic, and speaking Spanish helps as well. Hola, I'm in la Wiener. It's 6:20. We'll get to Nick in just a second. Those 2 years of Spanish really paid off.
It really did.
Yeah, that was really good.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
That's it.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more.
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
He is Nick at night, the Julio. He knows what shows are good, what's stinking. He's the only one who's in the know. I need to know what Nick is thinking.
Good morning, Nick.
I need to
Good
know
morning.
What Nick
How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I haven't talked to you in 14 years.
I know. It's crazy, isn't it? Oh, we get so busy. It's like two ships that passed in the night and didn't see each other.
I know.
How'd you feel about the Oscar nominations?
It was pretty much close to what I predicted. There were some, surprises, Bradley Cooper not getting nominated for Best Director. A lot of people were surprised by that. And Ethan Hawke not getting nominated for Best Actor. Mm-hmm. I do think that this year, two of the worst movies ever nominated for Best Picture are in the same nominees.
And they are?
Vice and Bohemian Rhapsody, which was number one on my worst list last year.
Is that right?
Yeah, I hated every frame of it.
Why? I didn't see it, but I heard a lot.
Well, because it's insanely historically inaccurate. And it's like they urinated on Freddie Mercury's grave with all the inaccuracies in it.
That's a sequel.
The big setup, for the big emotional final scene in the movie where they play Live Aid, that legendary performance in Live Aid, takes place in 1985. And so the way they set it up emotionally in the movie is that Freddie Mercury finds out he's got AIDS right before Live Aid. And in real life, he was diagnosed HIV positive in 1987, 2 years after Live Aid. And that's just one of the gross inaccuracies in it. And they recreate Live Aid really well, but you know what? You can watch the actual performance on YouTube, and that's what I would expect us people to do.
You know, like Rami Malek?
He was fine. He can get the Rich Little Award this year. That's fine.
Wow. Coming hard, man.
Like
what was the other one you said? Vice. Yeah, listen, I didn't hate Vice. I hated parts of it a lot, and I thought the Dick Cheney piece was really good.
I will say this, the performances are all really good in it. I think, Christian Bale is quite good. I think Sam Rockwell is hilarious as W.
Yeah.
But it was as though, the stuff that I didn't like about The Big Short, Adam McKay, who wrote and directed that, the stuff that I didn't like that kind of annoyed me about The Big Short, which Adam McKay seems a little bit high and mighty every once in a while, he did that tenfold in Vice. It was like, here is a movie, you are stupid. You know what I mean? It's like my audience is idiotic.
Yeah, for people that didn't see, Phil didn't see either. He breaks a fourth wall by stopping on complicated terms and explaining them to you. Now, I will say this. In The Big Short, he had Margot Robbie in a tub. So that was way more interesting than how they explained it in Vice.
Oh, I agree. And a lot of that unconventional stuff that he did in Big Short, that was new and it was fun. And understanding the financial world is more difficult than understanding, Cheney's reign as vice president. I think that's more comprehensible than someone who's not familiar with what happens on Wall Street. So the material in The Big Short was more apropos to do that kind of style. Not in this, and he does it even more in this. I found the movie incredibly insulting and annoying.
Who's going to win Best Picture?
I'm rooting for Roma.
Roma, but who's going to win?
Well, I think Roma. I'm going to say Roma's going to win. The real crowd pleaser that's been nominated here is Green Book.
I love
Green Book. Which is also I did too, and It's weird because my complaints about Bohemian Rhapsody are a lot of people's complaints about Green Book, that it's not really accurate to what really happened. And I didn't know anything about that.
Here's the thing about that. The family that worked as consultants on the film say it is accurate. The family that didn't have much contact with the lead character in the movie later in his life say it's not accurate. So it's, right. You know, it's not like there's a big historical record here.
Well,
and the message doesn't change.
No, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I mean, what this movie, the message that this movie has about, you know, relations and race and you know, civil rights, and not only that, just watching Viggo Mortensen and Mahershala Ali act together,
you're unbelievable.
I mean, it was unbelievable the chemistry that these guys had. They were some of my favorite scenes of any movies that I've seen last year. Was just the acting between those two guys. It was magic.
We'll, of course, as you get closer to the Oscars, go through all the picks and really lock you down to, you know, who you got.
Yeah. But you got to play by what's happening, you know, on the buzz and everything, and like who's going to win the SAG Awards and who's, you know, all that stuff. That's how you start to
SAG voting deadline's tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Yep.
Okay. We got to keep those free screeners coming, Dave. We got to make sure we vote.
I only have five more movies to watch tonight.
Hey, Nick, with the Screen Actors Guild, I thought it was really interesting that they, you know, have different categories than they do when they for the Oscars, of course. But they had I think it was outstanding performance by a cast, and it's surprising to me that the one movie I thought that got snubbed across the board was Infinity War, Avengers, where I thought with all the people that were in there, all the stars, everything, that didn't show up really anywhere. Maybe a couple visual effects nominations,
right.
but Black Panther really stole the thunder from one of the biggest superhero movies of all time.
Well, it did, but you know, historically, superhero movies don't get much love in the Academy Awards or during awards season. They just don't. The reason why Black Panther did, twofold. Here's two reasons. One, it's very clear that the Academy does not want Oscars so white anymore. That's absolutely true. And also, you can't ignore the cultural significance of Black Panther. I mean, it crossed all boundaries. And it's also, I think, a better movie than Infinity War. So that's another reason why I think it got the nominations. It won't win anything. It might win, you know, it might win special effects or something, or costume or something like that. But typically, you know, just the superhero movies just don't get much love. And in fact, this is the first comic book superhero movie ever to be nominated for Best Picture.
Wow.
Ever.
You know, Steve, think about it. I know you didn't. I don't know if you saw Infinity War, but there are 25 high paid A-plus stars in that movie. It's like everyone from Robert Downey Jr. to Chris Pratt to to Cumberbatch. Down the line, I mean, they're every star that's working in Hollywood is in that movie.
Well, they're learning slowly. You know, you got a Best Picture superhero movie. It's like when your grandfather starts to not become the racist that he used to be. They're learning slowly. They're starting to understand. All right, I got less than a minute here. Talk to me about your next film club screening.
Oh, it's my mom's favorite movie, and that's why we're screening it.
Nice. You're a good son.
Wait, does that mean 2019 going to be all your mom's favorite movies?
No, because she likes a lot of bad movies.
Okay.
she's going to kill me if she's listening, I swear to God. Barefoot in the Park, Neil Simon's Barefoot in the Park. It's also one of my favorite movies of all time. Jane Fonda and Robert Redford. I think it's one of the funniest things that Neil Simon has ever written. And I've never seen it on the big screen, so I'm really thrilled about that. It's Tuesday night, February 5th. $10 to get in. Parking is free. You can go to amctheaters.com to reserve your seats. And this is a really special and really, really funny movie. And also, we've now partnered up, Steve, for all of our screenings now with Murray Brothers Caddyshack Restaurant right down the street.
It's a great deal.
It is, and you get in, you get there around 6 o'clock, have some dinner, the food's really good, and you get 15% off all your food. And that's the deal that the Caddyshack guys are giving us now. And if you just have proof of the fact that you're going to go see Barefoot in the Park, you get 15% off, and they're going to also have some Valentine's Day dessert and drink specials just for that event.
It's Nick DiGilio. I'll hear him every night on the radio. He's got a better Facebook presence than anybody ever on the planet, including Zuckerberg. Thanks, buddy.
All right, man. Take care.
See you later. And headlines in a moment on 720 WGN.
Headlines now.
Oh, but the moment has to pass. Okay, the moment's passed now.
Welcome to Sunday.
Wait a second.
What day is it? The date's
wrong. May. Thursday.
What year?
Wait, what?
Hello, you that boy.
Me, sir?
Yes, you, my good fella. What day is today?
Today?
From NBC News in Washington, the longest running show in television history. This is Meet the Press with Chuck Todd.
Actually, it's not. It'll be on Sunday. Good morning, Chuck.
Well, good morning. How are you, Steve?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Getting ready to change my plans early next week, I guess, in the city to evening. It's just one less late night, I have to admit.
Yeah.
My home life, that wasn't so bad. It was nice to say, oh, by the way, not having to have one less late night next week.
Well, I know you're close to West Virginia, but my concern for you was you were going to have to drive to a rally there.
Well, there's a bunch of us in Washington thinking, really? If the best thing to come out of the shutdown means we don't have to do these very disjointed speeches that are like filled with tradition
Still with me? Oh, we had a bad phone spot there. Answer this for me. Go into the land of make-believe for a second with me. As angry as people claim they are, if we can get them as fired up as they should be, you got 34 Senate seats, I think, that are up in 2020. Obviously, the whole House and the White House. Can't we force these goofballs to pass a law that says you can never use shutting down the government as a negotiating tool again?
Well, there's been a few bills, actually, that have popped up. And after every shutdown, there's an attempt to pass a bill that basically it's the bill to end shutdowns. It's the shutdown bill to end the shutdown.
Right.
Things like that. And for what it's worth, Steve, over the years, they actually have done this. So one of the reasons why this shutdown has not had it's been more of a slow motion train wreck. So its impact, now that we're in day 33, it's having real impact and all this stuff. But it is a partial shutdown because they have, over the years, made it so that, for instance, Social Security benefits are never impacted by any shutdown. Military pay is no longer impacted by a shutdown. So over the years, they have done this.
How about the part where you don't get paid? Nobody in Congress gets paid.
Well, I'll be honest. I think after this one, I wouldn't be surprised if there is an attempt that basically says you cannot go without a paycheck, period, pure and simple. That wouldn't surprise me if something like that passed.
Yeah, and it should be. It's just idiotic. It's outrageous and ridiculous. Justin, say hi to Chuck.
Hi, Chuck. Yesterday, we saw Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, essentially clearly say that she did not want the State of the Union. And surprisingly, and I think effectively, the president said he would wait until after the partial shutdown was over. The good news for, I think, both parties win in this case, because the idea of having a State of the Union while our government is shut down seemed to be a head-scratcher.
No, it was a bit, this is one of those cases where Nancy Pelosi was right. Don't do a State of the Union in the middle of the shutdown. But how she went about it, she knew was going to get at his ego. He let his ego get in the way for a while. But I agree with you. I think it's rare that he stands down, but he's smart to stand down in this one. Go have a substantive fight. Don't have a silly fight. And I think, have this fight over substance. Ultimately, what I can't figure out here,
Yes, that's what happens when you get into the mountains of West Virginia. You're back. Continue.
I know.
Continue. No problem. Go ahead.
Okay, sorry. I just don't understand why he doesn't want to declare victory. Democrats have said, we're going to give you even more money for border security.
Right.
Declare victory. Sit there and say, I know I'm not getting my wall the way I want to get it. But guess what? I got them to give me more border security. And more importantly, in 6 months, they're going to beg me for a wall when they realize that everything they've given me doesn't work.
And he could do that
today.
That's
what a leader would do.
Yeah.
He could do it today. He could have done it last week. And why his fear of declaring... And this is really a problem in all of Washington. We've gotten to where everybody feels as if once they dig in, they need complete and total victory, or it's complete and total failure. And the way our feedback loop works, maybe it's you can blame it on social media, we can blame it on advocacy media, whatever it is, they don't, they're invested in never winning, right? Rush Limbaugh never wants to win because it's not good for business, okay? You cannot ever win if you're Limbaugh. You always want to feel like you're losing.
Right.
And unfortunately, that mindset has actually impacted the lawmakers. And that's why we're in these, I think, absurd showdowns where neither side knows how to take half a loaf and declare victory.
There is a much more important story in the world than Trump's ego or Nancy Pelosi's ego, and that is what's going on in Venezuela. And we have what amounts to well, frankly, an amateur as the new temporary, in quotes, head of the Department of Defense. How much trouble do you feel here?
Well, you know, it's things like this. We're getting very involved, which means the more involved we get rhetorically, the more involved the opposition in Venezuela may expect us to get into. You know, you raise expectations that you're going to be there for these people, then you have to be there for these people.
Right.
Well, what if it gets violent? You know, are we ready to send military to Venezuela? It's my understanding we're certainly prepared to do it if necessary. But it is, you know, this is one of those cases where I think diplomatically and foreign policy, do you think that there certainly is an opportunity here to get rid of Maduro? So when you have an opportunity, you want to strike. However, our history and picking leaders in Latin America is so fraught with peril. Mm-hmm. You know, you sit there and like, when does this ever go well for us? Right? When does it ever go well for us? So I'll be honest, that's, as somebody who's sort of a Latin American sort of amateur political junkie, what makes me nervous, on the one hand, it's an opportunity to get rid of Maduro. I get it. On the other hand, I get nervous when we start getting involved in another country's decision about who its leader should be, because it never goes well.
Well, and on top of that, it's set up.
Give me an example when it has.
Well, it's set up strategically for failure of the biggest to the biggest degree. And ironically, the Cuban intelligence militarily is spread out all over the country, and there's arms all over the country and households. You'd have to find house by house because they've set up militias.
No, I mean, sadly, Venezuela does feel as if it may really end up in a full fledged civil war, but. Again, I do worry that we either are raising expectations for involvement that we'll never do, or we're going to get involved, and once you get involved, as you just point out, it may be hard to get out. So we'll see. I don't think Maduro just walks away as easily, perhaps, as maybe the United States thinks.
Cash and prizes. He's taken plenty. Can we offer him more?
You know, I think if you could bribe him out of the job, it would have been done already.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I'm serious. I really do. I think that it would have already happened.
Last question, and it's more of a big picture think kind of thing, and I don't know if you're going to talk about this on Sunday's Meet the Press or MTP Daily today or any other day, but Mitch McConnell was profiled in New York Times Sunday Magazine as a cover story, and to echo what you said before about ego and perspective, seems to be reveling in the fact that he blocked Obama and took away powers of the presidency, calls the Merrick Garland thing his greatest accomplishment. Is he going around the bend here?
Well, look, I actually have always given McConnell credit for how he's described Garland. He's never said it was his best decision. He has said it's his most consequential decision. Well, that's a fact. All right, I'll give him that. Look, I do think there are people close to McConnell and McConnell himself that are trying to paint the picture that he's LBJ and Everett Dirksen, okay? Two of the greatest Senate leaders of the 20th century. And that he is of that mold. I don't know if history is going to be as kind. I think history is going to be very unkind to both Harry Reid and Mitch McConnell.
Totally agree.
And I just think we'll see. And look, Harry Reid folks are fighting, you know. I've had this debate with him. You know, he still believes he did the right thing on the judges and it wouldn't have led to the other. But the point is, the Senate today is not as an effective body as it was 20 years ago. We can blame polarization. We can blame a lot of things. But the Senate leaders had something to do with it, too.
Yeah, they got to own it. They'll own it. You know what they need to check? They need to take the mantle. That's what they need to do. They need to own it and
What's
take
the mantle. Whose mantle?
Yeah, I don't know whose mantle. Take that mantle. enjoy your day. Thanks for all the great information. As always, we'll see you Sunday on Meet the Press.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
You got it. Sounds good. Thanks.
Bye. Let's check that.
In the hills, the rolling mountains of West Virginia?
He may be in the mountains of Maryland. Hmm. I don't know where he's driving back in from. We just did a couple of bad cell spots there. So
He's like an agent in L.A. Sorry, going through the valley.
Would you be surprised if you found out checked out with CIA? I wouldn't. 650,
he
Steve.
Might have, what? Oh, sorry. He might have been called in since the shutdown. There's less people able to do some stuff.
I don't really think any of us with microphones or cameras are essential employees, to be honest with you.
Listen to Pat Brady.
This is the John DeCoste love song to Pat Brady.
Ooh, listen to that jam.
Pat Brady was big on 80s disco follow-up. This is kind of a disco transition into the grunge of the early 90s.
Yeah. Steve, you and I live that. We're the same age.
All right, let's dance.
I used to be the acting chairman of the GOP Party. GOP Party. A federal prosecutor that we need to give our utmost respect.
Respect the man. Respect the man.
I just tuned right in on the Cochran Show today to hear what he is saying.
What is he saying?
What's his name?
You never know about something that he said. We'll keep your vote from swaying.
We'll keep it from swaying, baby.
The analyst with info that you need to know.
And
you can get it.
Let's do the album cut.
Oh, 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 oh. I was never gonna look at politics as simply black and white. Yeah, listen to Pat Brady.
Listen to Pat Brady.
A Republican rarity who fought for same-sex marriage rights. Yeah, listen to Pat Brady.
I understand that not only your ringtone, you had the setup as your video doorbell thing as well. So when people come to your house, they hit the doorbell and this song plays.
All I remember is you played that segment and cut into Dean Richards' segment, and he hasn't spoken to me since.
Yeah.
Wow. That is an awesome track.
And it sounds like Joe Romano and Justin are doing backup on that.
No, they wouldn't be in tune.
It sounds like that.
Justin was grooving.
I was grooving. I was doing a lot of air bass.
Yeah, but you were doing backup.
I was doing air bass. I wasn't doing anything.
I hope Eric Edelstein's not listening because that is going to really cut his. Oh, his mom.
Well, John has a little surprise for him, but we just haven't had time to make the delivery.
Okay.
Yeah. At 6:55. Hi, Pat Brady. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Nice to see you. And Pat, tell you everybody where you work when you're not dancing and jamming to your John song.
Next Generation Strategies.
It can only go downhill from here after that song.
Yeah, there's no.
I don't mean to.
Yeah. No, you're right.
No offense to the listeners, but that
it's not the listeners.
Right
it's
now.
Us. Lincoln Forum. Any news there?
Yeah, big debate. February 7th, mayoral debate. We're going to announce a poll maybe today. The top five candidates. So this will be the first debate where we've limped the field.
All right, all right. So I'll host
it. You're just doing five.
You're doing five. The top five in the poll, and it's going to be at the Union League Club, 6 p.m. live on Fox, and it's going to be
live on what?
Fox, Chicago.
Live on Fox.
WFLD.
Okay, I'll still host it. If you want me to host it, I'll host it.
No, we got...
What?
I know you truly don't want to do it, so Mike Flannery's going to do it.
Mike Flannery is great.
Yeah.
If people want to vote on who they think the top five should be, what do they do?
Now we're doing a public poll.
Oh, public poll.
Yeah, we want to do it as...
So you're doing one of those scam deals where people reach out and call?
No. This is a legitimate poll from We Ask America, a recognized and respected...
You guys should get smartphones. This wouldn't cost you a dime.
Yeah, it's, you know, we're not smart people, but we're going to have a good, fair poll, so we'll get the top five candidates, and so we get that field limited a little bit, and I think it's going to be a great debate. I think it's going to be the best of the ones we've seen so far.
The top five right now, Mendoza, Preckwinkle, Bill Daley, who are the other two?
Amara?
I think she's close.
Chico is coming in next hour, after 8, I should say.
It depends. There's so many polls.
I
beyond 1, 2, 3.
Let's name them all. We'll just
Gary McCarthy's up there, too, I think.
Gary McCarthy, Lori Lightfoot?
Yeah. Lori hasn't... I like Lori. She's great, but I don't think her polling numbers are great. But there's so many polls out, and you have to look at who actually did the poll before you believe the poll.
How are you otherwise, Pat? You know, we always worry about you. You know, you're always running around the country. Everything good? Kids good?
Thank you. Everybody's great. It's time for him to get back to college.
Wait, I have a logistic question about these top five. So when you get the top five set and they do this debate, does that top five ever change then before the election, or is it pretty
safe? No, it's going to be based on that poll. It's hard to do this and limit the field. You can't have a debate with 15 people and have it be...
But this top five is only for the Lincoln Forum event. It doesn't have any weight on the rest of the world.
I'm going to suggest something. You could have them all, but they could do Red Rover, Red Rover. You could have like six on one side, five on the other. Red
Whoever
Rover,
falls
Red
down.
Rover. You know, you charge the line. You know that game when you're a kid?
Yep. That's the cluster debate. That's a whole different thing.
Red Rover,
like
Red Rover.
That's actually
Let Lori Lightfoot
idea.
Come over. And then she runs and tries to break
right,
your...
If she breaks through Bob Fioretti.
Was that song that Chad Abigail and I sing? 10 little monkeys in a bed, one rolls over and bumps his head, something like that.
Yeah. I'll suggest that to the committee, though, Mary. I think that
that could add a fun element the first time at Lincoln.
Actually, I'd like to make it entertaining. I want to let live monkeys go halfway through, but I got shot down on that one, too.
I think the animal people don't let you use live monkeys.
I've got a Mary Vandeveld here because as I look over my left shoulder, Lakeshore Drive is a complete traffic jam. Apparently there's been a 9-car accident.
Yeah, up to about 9 cars involved. There's only one lane
that's north, right?
Yeah, northbound Grandin, Illinois.
Well, we can see through the buildings where the crash occurred, right?
Yeah, it's pretty intense.
But that's not north. That's not the corner at. Everybody runs into walls at the corner at North Avenue Beach. But that's before that.
No. It's at.
This is
Grand.
The Navy Pier. The Navy Pier.
It's right behind
right by Navy Pier.
The point is, I don't know how you have an accident there. It's a straightaway.
Yeah, that's true.
It's between Wacker and.
Here's
Grand.
What I'm guessing: somebody was putting on makeup, or somebody was texting, or somebody was eating a breakfast burrito. And they
all the, I see all the people on the bridge down here who are stuck in traffic, and at the same exact time, and as frustrating as that is, at the same exact time, the sun is coming up right over Lake Michigan. So if you just take a deep breath and look, it's only going to take 5 minutes to get through there.
Reportedly, they just opened all the lanes.
Yeah, I can see they're starting to scoot down. They just opened.
You know how they go there. Everybody's about 6 inches apart.
I know, it's crazy.
They're going.
That's like the start at Indy. It's 6:57. You just heard the tone. And do we need a break? Then the news next at 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Eric Adelson will join us in a few minutes. The MVPP, I think you're going to find highly entertaining today. Not that any other day it's not entertaining, but today, you know, I just think it's highly entertaining.
Hard to beat the yesterday's kid who.
Nah, I like what you did there. You laid down a line, and now we got to see if we can get over it.
You pet a dog, take a picture, and put it on the internet.
Is that podcast, by the way?
It is. It's at WGNradio.com. You can go to the WGN app under Steve Cochran Show Podcast and find it there easily. Yeah. This, the one that's today, though, I feel like really speaks to Pat Brady.
Yeah, I think so, too. Speaking of podcasts, Dennis Miller and I had to talk to the other day. Joe, is that up yet, the Dennis Miller podcast? I can listen to Dennis Miller and I talking about the comedy.
And you can find that at the same place. You can find all the
Mayor Emanuel scheduled to do a sit-down with me on Monday?
No, February 11th.
That's exactly right, February 11th.
You're doing Groundhog Day on Monday.
I'm doing Groundhog Day.
Yeah, you're doing a Groundhog Day.
I know I'm doing Groundhog Day. What? Just remind me of what part of Groundhog Day I'm doing.
It's usually something we could talk about after the show.
Is this Bill Murray is coming in?
Bill Murray is not coming in.
This is a segment we do every week where we explain Steve's schedule to
our friends from Woodstock.
Oh, yeah.
You'll be doing that.
Please, I knew that.
Yes.
I don't know why you're trying to explain it.
Rick.
I'm all over
it. Rick is his name, yes.
Can we talk dress code now? What are we doing?
7:14. Pat Brady is here, and Pat goes to Springfield, so we don't have to. And you were telling me off the air, very aggressive agenda is underway. Everybody playing nice so far?
Yeah, a lot of session days scheduled, unlike last year where there were none, but medical marijuana, capital bill. Some kind of talk about a
capital bill being infrastructure.
Infrastructure.
Okay.
Some kind of talk about tax.
So weed and roads.
Weed and roads, and then probably some sort of gaming bill. Got to deal with that with FanDuel. The what do you call that?
Yeah,
the online sports betting.
So we're talking weed, gambling, and roads.
Yeah, there'd probably be some.
Vegas of the Midwest.
Which of those three don't belong?
Yeah, and it'd probably get something to do with the utilities. Maybe some environmental bills. It's going to be very aggressive, but everybody seems to be getting
How is the atmosphere right now? Because it's been a pretty aggressive start. I mean, we talked about a state contract or raises for employees. Pritzker has been all over HB 40 and making sure there's an executive order for that. And there seems to be, and there's more, too. This was a quick start for Governor Pritzker.
Yeah, executive order type starts. He also said that Illinois would comply with the Paris Environmental Accords. The Governor Rauner had been at war with AFSCME, the big union down there, public sector union, on step increases, which he did not give them, so, and Governor Pritzker reversed that. So everything he can do as governor without actually getting legislation passed, he's been very aggressive. He's off to a good start. Now, a lot of that doesn't make people that are Republicans or conservatives happy, but he's keeping the people that elected him happy right now.
How about Jim Durkin? Where's he on this? In other words, if Durkin is in this of the same mindset as you, that it's off to a good start, I would take that as optimistic that two sides are actually talking.
I think that they're talking and trying to get along. That doesn't mean that Jim Durkin's going to agree to things that go necessarily against the Republican. It's going to be, I don't think he's ever going to go for a progressive income tax. I think that and I don't want to speak for him, but I've heard him say I think he has issues with legalizing marijuana because the marijuana now is a much different strain than it was when we were kids. And so I think it needs, I think he wants to slow it down to make sure that it's done and not done hastily. So
that all seems logical.
Yeah, but I think the whole point is there's middle ground, and I've been saying this for weeks, there is middle ground on all these issues, and I think if you have the governor speaking to the Republican leader and to Bill Brady, that you will get things done.
It is 7:17. Eric Edelstein will join us next.
Doc, none of us could remember anything from last night. Remember? Backstreet's back, all right.
7:22, most valuable person on the planet today is a knucklehead. It's Will Novak from Arizona, who got famous real fast. Remember a few years ago, there was a mistaken text that led to a friendship between two people who would otherwise never have had their paths crossed, and one was invited to the other's wedding, and they remain friends to this day.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough way to meet people, though. You can't count on it if you're lonely. But Will Novak had sort of a different experience. He was inadvertently invited to a bachelor party, and he said, hey, this sounds like fun. Hi, Will. Will?
Hi, how you guys?
I'm fine. Are you still at the party?
Yes, I can hear you.
Are you still at the party, Will?
No, I'm just, back in Phoenix, just waking up.
Thank you for getting up. You made national headlines when you put up a GoFundMe page to pay for your ticket to go to Vermont. Was it in Vermont?
Yeah, I flew to Boston and drove to Vermont.
Right, and there was a bachelor party there from someone you previously did not know.
Correct. Never met him, never heard of him. I have no idea who they were.
At the party, did you encounter what you expected?
No, it was much more than I could have ever expected. These guys were over the top. I got in on Friday at 3 in the morning. When I arrived, they were shooting off fireworks. They were shooting fireworks at me. They were shooting fireworks inside the cabin. They were playing metal music. They were shredding guitars and playing the drums. I had a friend that was passed out on the couch. It was, they took it to 11.
You know, I just, the amazing thing about this happens to everybody. The idea that you have a typo in an email, that's how this started, right?
Yeah. So my name's Will Novak, and they meant to send it to their friend that lives in Brooklyn named Bill Novak, and our emails are just one letter off.
Do you know if Bill ever got invited?
Yeah, they eventually looped Bill back in, and I met Bill, and Bill's great, actually. Bill and I connected quite a lot. We have a lot in common in terms of political views and music tastes and
name.
Tastes. I think Bill and I might end up friends for life. He and I are like, yeah. I mean, anybody named Will Novak's great, I think.
So would you describe your experience at the party as fun?
Oh, yeah. Super fun, super memorable. When I got to Boston, the rental car center, I had rented a minivan, but they had heard of the story, so they upgraded me to a Maserati. So I got to drive a Maserati
what
around
a terrible
in the snow,
idea.
We got it stuck in the snow, and we had to dig it out.
Exactly. Exactly.
It was a Maserati SUV, so it was okay.
Hey, Will, can you explain the GoFundMe portion of the story?
Yeah, so basically, you know, it was going to be $750 for the plane tickets and the ski lift and all that stuff. And I've got a 10-month-old baby, and my wife and I just spent our life savings remodeling and expanding our house. And so we thought, you know, this sounds like fun, but $750 is a lot of money for a joke, basically. And so my buddy's like, hey, put up a GoFundMe. I hear those work. And I never thought it would work. And sort of just to prove him wrong, I put it up. And in 2 hours, I had more than $750. So I sent out a tweet saying, thank you. Wow, I can't believe this funded. And then that thank you tweet got retweeted by Ruben Gallego, the congressman from Arizona, by Chris Murphy, the senator from Connecticut. And then people continued to fund it. And now it's over $4,000. I'm going to leave it open through tomorrow. And then I'm going to close it. And any money beyond the $750 that I need, we're going to cut a check to Angelo, the groom-to-be and his bride. And his bride is expecting a child. And give him a good start on their new life.
What a nice guy. Nice. Very nice guy. Well, that's why you are the MVP, because you turned this debauchery into a very good feeling. By the way, your wife either really doesn't like you or is the most understanding woman on the planet to sign off on this program.
I'm still trying to figure out which it is myself.
Well, just, you know, for you to do this, because, like I said, this is something we've all had an experience where we put on a group email that's not for us. A lot of times we delete or maybe say wrong email or move on. For you to make the move to befriend the strangers and to show up at the bachelor party and go through this whole thing, how much of it is a stunt joke, and how much of it is just your personality that you're open for anything?
I think it's a little bit of both. Yeah, I'm definitely open for anything. But also, each step of the way, I never thought it was real. I wrote them back an email. I didn't think they would respond. They responded. You know, it kept getting more and more down the line. Each step of the way, I never really thought I was going until I was on the plane.
What a great story to tell your baby. It was how old?
She's 10 months.
Well, congratulations, Dad. Now get your act together and stop going to bachelor parties.
Stranger bachelor parties.
Yeah.
Hold the line, yes, if you sir, would. Yes, hold the line.
Thanks,
thank
Will.
You.
I think when she's when she's an adult and she's like, "Hey, Dad, I'm going to go to a stranger's bachelorette party."
Just like you did, yeah. Dad, when you got famous.
Yeah, that's a.
All right, Gable Stanger, how are you?
Great.
What's that company you work for?
I work for AL Media.
Well, it's your company.
And can I just say thank goodness. My mother was not listening earlier
mm-hmm.
today.
Mm-hmm. I told you.
In what regard?
Because of the song.
We have a surprise for Eric. It's just not happening today.
Yeah. There's no song,
Steve
Eric.
Is such a great gift giver. Yeah. Surprise giver. Surprise, not right now. Surprise. Yeah.
But you should look forward to it. You should really look forward to it because it's going to be
epic.
Spectacular.
Epic.
Ooh. All right.
So tell your mom to back down.
I thought it was to Edelweiss.
What are you, Paul Schaefer? Nobody asked you to arrange the music.
It sounded like Prince. Brady's song sounded like Prince.
Tell DeCoste it's got to be 80s R&B or nothing. Right? It's got to be like a middle-aged Patti LaBelle sound that Pat Brady's song was.
How do you know Eric's not completely into hip-hop?
Oh, yeah, it's true, but, yeah. Man, there's something really good about that 80s R&B jam.
That was a good
Pat
one.
Brady, yeah.
Yeah, that was... it was very Pat Brady. That's the thing.
We're going to talk about the mayor's race, talk about the Trump Pelosi nonsense, and see if we can save the union before 8 o'clock. But full disclosure, you work with the Susana Mendoza campaign. She was in yesterday.
Yep.
She was sitting in the very seat that Eric is sitting
she
in.
She is.
Right
no
now.
Wonder it was so high. I'm a little bit taller than she is.
She is tiny. Yeah, she is tiny, but powerful.
Big personality.
Tiny, but powerful.
Yep.
And that has also been a podcast as well. So a couple things. I mean, people might want to hear the information or might want to be surprised that I was so delightful. In either case, we'll talk to you.
You know, Steve, you were charming.
Yeah.
That was...
Yeah,
It was a two-hug interview. There was a hug in the beginning and then a hug at the end.
Just so we're clear...
She
asked
a hug.
For a yes. hug.
Yes,
both times.
Yes, mm-hmm. I appreciate it because she kind of announced when she came in the studio. She announced we're going to hug, and that's how I.
She didn't hug anybody else. She said we're going to hug this out.
Yes, and so I liked that because I like to announce to people if I am. Going
Oh, there's nothing better than irritating Sandberg by giving her a hug unannounced. You can see the look of terror in her eyes.
It's not
don't
terror.
Touch me.
It's just don't get away from me. You're invading my space.
I was worried when Mary asked me to come in today if there wasn't anything going on in politics. So is there anything?
Yeah, a couple.
Yeah, a couple things. A
couple things, yeah.
You know, I asked her that in the text yesterday. I go, what's up? She goes, nothing.
Oh, good.
I'll tune in.
By the way, bad day to buy property in Venezuela. That's one of the stories as well. Do we need a break here? I'm waiting for the delay. Oh, we don't need a break here. Okay, so let's go right to the headlines.
I'm a strong woman. I can chew gum, walk, and blow bubbles at the same time.
Yeah, but what if the gum's in Springfield? Don't you have to be there or no?
I've been to Springfield as well. It's not like I don't go back and forth. I'm still traveling the state when I need to be. But I'm, you know, there's technology these days. I mean, I'm in constant communication via teleconference and on the phone, and I live off my mobile as well. And keep in mind, it's a different climate now with the new governor who's not hell-bent on fighting every single day. Like, we just want to move forward and get things done.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
That's Susana Mendoza and Eric Edelstein of Pep Radio here. You know, I mentioned to her yesterday that if it's that easy, let's save one salary. Let's have her do both.
I heard you say that, Steve.
Why not? Let's double up on jobs all over the state of Illinois. Republicans and Democrats, everybody does two jobs.
You should join the treasurer and the controller, though, legitimately.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure in this age of what we're seeing in Illinois politics that... more power in some of these offices is maybe not what we want.
Good point.
I think some checks and balances might be the thing.
Well, the only flaw in my plan, right there, identified by you.
Can we talk about this? The city council.
I want to talk about it. But
she did mention what you'd mentioned a couple weeks ago about taking the alderman, the power
prerogative.
Yeah. I mean, that's the biggest thing is these guys. You said it, Steve. They're all little fiefdoms.
Yeah.
And Mendoza has said, let's take away aldermanic prerogative. You don't have this kind of zoning temptation and this temptation for this corruption and graft, which is for 100 years, 200 years. I don't know, however long.
Well,
it's
the
been.
Perfect example, which you just set up nicely, is that Danny Solis wears a wire
right.
to uncover and to get out of whatever he's involved in
right.
and to uncover whatever Ed Burke is alleged to be involved in. And there are aldermen who are so entitled, they're standing up and they're outraged that people found out about
it. Wait, it's worse, though, Steve. Think about this. This is the group who's been supposedly holding hearings and doing something about the code of silence
right.
in the police department.
Right.
And the code of silence with the people in the African-American communities that don't come out against the gangbanger.
Right. Right. And they're outraged, these politicians, that there's a code of silence. And then one of theirs, for whatever reason, let's forget the motive, catches another one doing something wrong and reports it, and they're outraged. I mean, that is outrageous.
That's the amazing thing to me. You just want to go, you said that out loud.
Right.
That wasn't your inside voice. That wasn't in a meeting. You said right. that out loud because they're literally... Was there five, Justin, that stood up yesterday?
I'm not sure how many. I will say they act as if there's a press. This is press, and oh, man. But I think of all the big stings in Chicago history.
Silver Shovel,
others. Those are all wired. Those are all aldermen wearing wires. Just don't do illegal
don't
things.
Don't do dumb stuff.
Right.
Don't do illegal things. Then don't worry about who's recording you. Like
it's just amazing these are elected officials because the idea they should be transparent, they should be on everything they should be doing is on the up and up.
Well, you think about the alderman business model. Yeah. It is exactly, and I'm not exaggerating here. I'm not being funny. It is exactly the same as the organized crime business model. You take care of your neighborhood. Your neighborhood supports you. Your neighborhood protects you. There are way too many aldermen who have done that for way too long in this city and have accumulated way too much power. And those statements yesterday are an exact example of
that. They sounded like they were in The Godfather.
Exactly.
Betrayed the family.
Like, it's unbelievable.
What are you talking about?
Right.
Betrayed the family. Someone acted allegedly corruptly and was reported by another alderman. Like, isn't that what you want?
That the answer should be, I'm glad this has been exposed. We need to expose all of it.
Yes, and it needs to end. And the black eye on Chicago needs to stop.
Such a minor detail, but this isn't an election year.
Yeah.
Do these aldermen, and when you have these kind of scandals coming out, and again, not the media doesn't pay very close attention to aldermanic re-election campaigns,
right.
or there are, everything's fixed on the mayor. But will it have any sort of ripple effect on some of these big-time aldermen that are running for re-election that in coming up here in February?
Well, there's only six that are opposed.
No, I mean, I think it could. I'm out
there
are of
only
the
six that are opposed.
No, six, I'm sure.
Yeah, I was going to say
six unopposed.
Sorry. That's the
election. You know, look, I'm out of the prediction business in elections after 2016, as most people should be. But mm-hmm.
Not me. I'm still going to say all kinds of stupid stuff.
I do think...
Well, you still don't think Trump's going to get elected, do you?
He's not going to win New Hampshire.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I told you. Heard it here first.
Look, I think we may be heading for the perfect storm where you have higher engagement in elections, given the Trump factor and everything that's going on. You have this sort of blatant corruption that continues in the city council. I think there's going to be a sense of wanting fresh change, wanting something new, both mayor... both in city council, so I think it will have an impact.
Okay, I'm going to put you to the side just because
sure.
of your conflict with Susana Mendoza. Pat, does this hurt established candidates? And just, like Eric just said, you know, the voting, the electorate, they're fed up. Does it hurt the Preckwinkles, the Mendozas, the Chicos, the Vallises, the names we've heard a lot in Chicago politics?
Probably the first two you mentioned. I think it does.
Why don't think it hurt you if you're telling the truth? If you're telling the truth, you have anything to hide.
What kind of Eric touched on, this stain of people are just fed up with business as usual, and they might put somebody in. That's how Trump got in. They put somebody in that is different and talks a different game. Now, we'll see where you have, I think, much more political organization in this city that knows how to get the vote out, if that has any true...
Well, and here's the deal. Impact. Getting the vote out is the accident of the Electoral College that allowed a guy that got 3 million less votes to win the White House. You have to have mass voter turnout, and mass midterms meant 50%. A typical mayoral election in Chicago draws what? Yeah.
25.
Yeah, 25-30.
You need to get to 50% to make this thing legitimate and competitive.
Right.
Otherwise, it's just what happens in the neighborhoods.
You know, but the silver lining to all this is there, even particularly Bill Daley has been talking some pretty aggressive reforms, and maybe some of these reforms that Eric mentioned and others have talked about will become
Well, here's the bottom line, and I say that to you and Eric. Snitches get stitches. So I just want you guys to understand that.
But I do think Pat's right. I think whoever the next mayor is, there will be major reform because just they I think to, the, right? The pressure to do that will be such.
I forget the words Susanna used yesterday. She talked about how with the aldermen there was laws. That give them power. The thing that right. is like been habit for a long, long time. And that's something that she was going to not do. But then does that stop things from happening? Like, because it's been happening. And then if you take away prerogative.
Yeah, because I think Alderman Hopkins, we're going to find things today with the planning committee about the vote on Lincoln Yards. The alderman got behind that. There's some. They can also come in and stop it. Like, he stopped the soccer stadium. So there,
she's not there, it doesn't get done.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It still plays out on big issues that we may be paying attention, but not how it politically
got
there.
But you can't. The horse has left the barn, as my father might have said, because, you know, he liked horses. there's no way to put this back in back in the bottle, because once you know what you know, you can't go, all right, a couple of times if you want to cheat, lie, and steal, it's okay, as long as we continue to get stuff done.
Can I make an argument?
Shut it down!
Can I make an argument for aldermanic prerogative, only in the sense that if you take that away,
we're not going to agree with you.
But like you mentioned just before about Springfield and combining jobs, then who's got the prerogative? That's, the mayor has a prerogative, right. And no neighborhood's going
to
go for that.
Here's the only thing I would say, Justin, to that. There's no major city in this country other than Chicago that doesn't have centralized planning on zoning and building and projects. Because of prerogative, you have sort of this kind of haphazard thing. And that's one issue, which is sort of urban planning. But the bigger one is, if you look at the history of corruption in the city council, going back as far as the city council goes back, I would say 99% of it stems from that power of aldermanic prerogative.
Current occupant of the White House is next. We'll get to that in a moment. If I were him, I'd keep two guys in a truck on speed dial.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
So this is pure politics as it gets, because regular order, as Senator McCain called it and meant it, is important. And the State of the Union address is important. It also is forgotten 4 minutes after it's over. Having said that, it should occur as it has. Was it FDR? Woodrow Wilson that stopped with the writing and started with the public address.
I think I read it was Wilson.
And then it became a TV event with Carter. So it's not that long. It's not like there's a 200 years of history here. However, it's an important touchstone in a political year. It's important to have it done. But let's also be honest here. It doesn't mean anything. And if anybody in this room can tell me three memorable State of the Union moments, I'll give you $20.
Well, Reagan's speech after
Challenger. That's one.
But it does actually give you a slight political bump. Polling wise,
yeah, it's good for the
politics.
Yeah, the pageantry of it and all that.
He earned it. He won the election. He gets that 1 hour promotion, right?
That's the Constitution demands it.
To your point, Steve, you know, in history they talk about George Washington's farewell address and how profound it was and important. He never gave it. It was written.
It was published. That's exactly right.
Like, so this idea.
It was a very early form of the internet.
Yeah, very form of the internet.
Paper.
But I'll tell you, he's kind of met his match in Pelosi, hasn't he? I mean, he tried to bully her around, and she kind of had the best of it. And again, this just shouldn't be this kind of one-upsmanship, brinksmanship. But I do think it put him in his place a little bit. And
you know, I think though she overreached a little bit with messing with something that we're supposed to have done. I know she's going to declare victory today, but I thought she crossed the line a little. I agree with it. She's getting the better of him overall, but I thought that was a mistake.
Well, the thing I wonder is not responding last weekend to Trump's offer was a mistake. And Eric, I would ask you, with the Democrats, what are they risking here? Because if you go with the general logic here that the left is going to stay with the left, the right's going to stay with the right, they're going to make excuses, they're not going to leave. The people in the middle are always what matters.
Yeah.
So not responding to Trump's offer last week, who won that fight, and did they move anybody in the middle?
I probably not. Look, to be candid, when I first heard she did it and didn't see the details, I was a little worried, like Pat said, that it seemed petty. Mm-hmm. When I saw that, she didn't say it was canceled. Said, let's do it when the government opens, or you can do other things. I think the subtext here is there are consequences when you act like a petulant child, and consequences to shutting down the government. We're seeing these stories about, you know, are you comfortable getting on an airplane today? I mean, what's going on? Not just TSA, but with the air traffic control.
TSA, Homeland Security, and the FBI should be funded without question, constantly, and they're not.
Right. The
Coast Guard's not being funded.
I mean, I just think that the message was, Mr. President, there are consequences. This isn't business as usual. You can't just keep going on and do this. And I don't think Trump got that, or maybe he doesn't get it.
He gets it now, though. He's down to 35% this morning.
Yeah.
He's taken about 8-point dive in the last week.
Yeah, and the silent 65 is getting louder. The 65% who doesn't make as much noise.
He could have a bad 19. The way things are going.
Things turned for W.
It's cute that you assume he's going to get through.
Things turned for W after Katrina,
yeah,
when they weren't able to clean it up. And there was a sense of, I may disagree with Bush, I may like him, not like him, but he knows how to run the railroad. And when it was clear he doesn't know how to run the railroad, and I think there's a little bit of that happened with Trump.
Well, yeah,
now.
And you're going to see, you're going to have the China negotiations coming up here in a month or two.
Right.
No deal there.
Well,
a lot of the things he said he was going to do, he just hasn't done.
I brought this up to Chuck Todd this morning, and join me in the land of make-believe. The people who make the laws, who benefit from the laws, tend not to change the laws that benefit them, obviously. But there is a groundswell of support to having this never happen again, like maybe hasn't existed before. So why can't we do something simple, like force the people who need the votes in 2020 to create a law that says you don't get paid either? You want to shut the government down?
Yeah.
You don't get it done. That changes the chemistry of the entire thing and puts some urgency in it they didn't have before. And make it illegal to not pay someone who wants to go to work.
I got a better one for you. How about don't pay the congressman when they don't pass a budget?
Oh, that'd be great.
I mean, do it broader.
That'd be right.
Fail
your identify the fundamentals.
Right.
And if you don't pass on the fundamentals, you don't get paid.
If you don't do your job, Steve, you don't get paid.
Right.
Right?
Right. Yeah, well, it's happened many times. Yeah. Do you agree or disagree with that general theory? Why would you pay the politicians who are failures?
Yeah, I completely agree. In fact, that actually happened here in Illinois where I think it was Quinn Yank, just quit paying the legislators.
But it's like you go to a restaurant, you order food, and they bring you a battery on the plate. You'd be like, sorry, we screwed up. We don't have food.
We're out of food.
Are you going to pay? You're not going to pay.
Let me ask both of you guys, is there the equivalency here that you'll see in politics right now is that if you are against the government shutdown, then you are against border security. And that seems to be the idea that this idea that if you don't care about the borders, therefore you know what I'm saying. But the point being is that resonating with the country? I mean, yeah. Is it a false equivalent?
If Reagan were doing this, it would, because he was the master at sort of setting up a binary and saying you're either for this, you know, like Star Wars, you're either for nuclear war or you're for Star Wars, right? So, but Trump can't pull it off. He doesn't have the discipline, he doesn't have the messaging ability, and he's just too petty. So I don't think it's resonating at all. I don't know, Pat.
I agree. It's the polling, it's not resonating at all.
And I would say that aside from the folks who want to discount Nancy Pelosi because she's female, and she can be a gigantic pain in the ass, she handled this in a way after the initial fumble that was mature and grown up like, and Donald Trump never gets accused of that.
Well, the thing that's scary, we talked about Venezuela, about having President Trump as commander in chief, where your word actually means something. If you're going to send people in to get killed because they say, we tell them we're going to be there, you better be there. So that to me is a worry with him now. There's actually hot spots throughout the globe, and a guy that kind of has a problem with telling the truth or sticking with it.
Yeah, Venezuela ain't that far away, kids.
No. But how'd you like to be one of these people that are fighting against these clowns that are murderers and say, President Trump says he's going to be here for us? And this is where it's important that the president tell the truth all the time, because they need to believe that we're going to be there.
It's another fine day in America, so enjoy the greatest country in the world. What is that democracy quote, Thomas Jefferson? It's the worst form of the best form of government or something like that?
It's the worst form of government except for all the other ones.
Except for all the other ones, that's it. Vote, and tell your elected representatives you're mad as hell and you're not going to take it anymore.
We got them right where we want them, Steve. Republicans are right where we want them.
We talked to the marketing department here, and Eric, I don't know if you guys or Pat, your company wants to be a part of this. Steve Cochran Show, burning clubs. These are clubs that we will carry to Washington that you could set fire to, but they'd have the logo for the show on the side of it.
I think they have to be like LED ones. I don't think like
that. Oh, fire regulations?
Yeah.
Less effective. Thank you both.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks for having me.
All right. See you. And good luck on your speech today, Eric. I think you got a strong future. It's 7:59, News Next, 720 WGN. Northwest Medicine Newsroom. That's where Steve is next.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. You know I love you more than white should. Yeah.
Time now for more on entertainment, where you get more on entertainment from
that weather.
Yeah, nice, huh?
It's terrible. I have to
nice.
Go. I have to. I feel your pain. You're talking about how cold it's going to be when you go to work tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I have to go to L.A. today, and it's going to be 74. Freeze. Oh,
bring us bring sunblock.
How am I going to deal with that?
Yeah, definitely bring sunblock.
74.
Got a nice text here from somebody who wants me to bring the stand-up tour to Rockford.
Hmm.
And we've talked about that in the past, but here's the follow-up text, the 815. Hope Rockford works out. We'd love to pack a place for you, in parentheses, your morons entertainment.
Huh?
That's sweet.
The morons sweet. Entertainment roadshow.
Very, very sweet. How are you, Dean?
Maybe we can go to Normal, Illinois.
Bloomington Normal would be a good place.
Hit some of the, you know, hit some of the hot spots in Illinois.
You know, the other place you talked about doing is Milwaukee and Madison, because we have a lot of listeners in Milwaukee and Madison, and then they've asked if we're coming there to do comedy. So we should do that.
Oh, the morons take Madison.
Yeah, that's
morons,
a good poster.
Morons Madison.
As we continue,
go to Oak Lawn. That would be great because that's where my cousin and aunt live.
And you could kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah, stop for a visit. And
maybe it could just be a personal tour. Like you can get the addresses of these different people and just you two hit up the their houses.
What do you think Dean and I do every Saturday? Every maybe Saturday we just go around and see people.
You just go to my Aunt Dolly's house.
Yeah, I know.
Do the show at Aunt Dolly's house.
And it's always good to have an excuse on why we have to leave. Oh, did we not tell you we have a show?
Mm. Aunt Dolly's a lot of fun. You might not want to leave.
Yeah, no, Dolly. I've always heard Dolly's a good time.
She's fun.
Lots of stuff to talk about. Michael Jackson show coming to town. Michael is not available. Carrie Underwood's is another baby. Got a Bieber and a Baldwin and another Baldwin and a Brown.
Michael Jackson's not available.
No, it's not available. Do you remember where you were when you found out he died?
Yes, I was.
Where were you?
In the Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue.
Mm. I was on a golf course.
I was on the air. I forget. I wasn't doing the show, but I was at the radio station, and whoever was doing the show, it was like sort of the dark years of WGN.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of hosts who I don't remember their names.
Neither does the public.
I got the story that happened. I said, we have this story. We should break in right away. This is kind of a big story. And I sort of had to fight a little bit to like break in with the story.
If you ever saw Howard Stern's movie, the guy that played Pig Virus was the boss here for a couple of years.
I forgot him, too.
Yeah. And
God rest his soul.
Pig Virus, Pig Vomit, depending on the movie or the whether or not you actually met him. And what'd you say? God rest his soul?
Mm-hmm. That's what he said.
Don't bring God into this. Mm-mm. But those were the dark years, and we survived and thrived. You know why, Dean? Because of the great listeners of this radio station who brought it back from the ashes.
That's right. And a quality program like this.
I feel bad that I don't know where I was when I heard Michael Jackson died. Mm.
I was just reflecting on, could you imagine if the public had been robbed of moron entertainment? If we had continued to go down that road.
Here's somebody suggesting the Egyptian Theater in DeKalb.
Mm. I've played that theater. Very
they
nice.
Said that you'll be hilarious and beautiful.
You know, it's hard to be
at
both.
At the same time, yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to be both. And how was New York? Were you in New York? Where were you?
Me?
Yeah, yesterday.
No, I was here in Chicago, but we were, I was just...
Tomorrow he'll be in
LA. I just felt like taking the day off.
Oh, you took the day off?
No, we were recording some special programs that are going to be coming up, so I wasn't here.
You want to promote them?
Not yet, no.
How about now? It's 8:16.
They're big, though, and you may be shocked to know one of them has to do with a clown.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. It's 8:16. When we come back, we'll go over that list that I mentioned a moment ago.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor, Channel
I don't know who this texter is, but they're listening. It's got to be a critic. It said, I just come out of the screening room after a film screening that Dean was not able to attend. I was standing on a CTA bus turning my phone on, and that's when I found out about Michael Jackson. It overshadowed the fact that Farrah Fawcett had died that morning. I'd forgotten about that.
That's right. We completely forget about poor Farrah Fawcett because of that.
Unless you see the poster, then you remember. Pat Brady still has that poster in his room.
I do, too.
All right. Let's go with a few important big stories today, starting with Michael Jackson, the musical, making its world premiere in Chicago.
This is going to be a show that's going to be called Don't Stop Till You Get Enough. And it'll be, you know, the life of Michael Jackson, kind of a jukebox musical, it sounds like, right now, that'll walk you through his career, personal life and professional life through his songs. It's going to premiere October 29th. At the Niederlander Theater, probably asking, where is this Niederlander Theater? That's what they're going to be calling the Oriental Theater. In about a week or so, they're going to officially change the name to the James M. Niederlander Theater.
And who was James M. Niederlander?
He's a big, very famous Broadway producer.
Mm-hmm.
His company helped to refurbish many of the big downtown theaters.
I saw on Instagram in Chicago yesterday, they're starting to change the sign, but they're in the middle of it. So I saw like two or three people point.
So what's up? Just Nieder?
Or a Niederlander.
Nieder.
They've switched in the marquee sign right in the middle, and they caught that on.
I was hoping one of you would break into Don't Stop.
Don't Stop Till You Get Enough.
Ow!
Dean.
Dean, do we know? I mean, it's probably way too.
You don't want to know what I had to do to achieve that high.
I like that.
Do we know? It's probably too early to tell, but is this going to be the kind of musical that is just that's made by Michael Jackson's team and not reference all of the controversy late in his life?
I don't know, because nobody knows what this show is going to be about. I would be shocked if they referenced any of the controversy that he dealt with later.
Hard to set that to music, because what rhymes with indictment?
I think it's somewhat controversial. You're seeing what's happening with R. Kelly. Like, there was a lot that was unresolved at the end of Michael Jackson's life, or some of the things that he was accused of, and payouts and payoffs. And it'd be interesting if you put up a piece of Michael Jackson art, and that stuff is not referenced in a biography musical. I wonder if there'll be pushback on that.
I don't know either. I've seen a story this morning that said there will be some of the controversy. But again, I'm being serious. I don't know how you'd set that to music. I don't know.
I would, you know, they had to get rights to use all of this music and likenesses and so forth from the Michael Jackson estate. And there is no way that they would have approved all of that if this is going to be in any way detrimental to the image of Michael Jackson.
Well, and I'm just hoping lyric sheets are handed out, because Michael Jackson's music is famous for not being able to understand that Billie Jean is not my cover, lover, she doesn't hover. You know what I'm saying? Don't stop till you get enough. Do you know the line after "Don't stop till you get enough"? Do you know what it is? You know, "Don't stop till you get enough." You don't know what that line is?
No.
Come on.
Don't stop till you get enough. Keep on with the force. Don't stop. You never ever heard Michael Jackson say.
I thought it was "Keep up with the poster."
Keep up with the poster on the wall.
I never got it. Yeah, post that. It says something like that.
White people are so analytical.
What does it say? The real words?
The real words are, don't stop till you get enough. Keep on with the force. Don't stop. Don't stop till you get enough.
Keep right,
on
Justin,
with
sing the it.
Touch me. And what am I doing over here? What you want Justin to sing it?
He's got
a touch you. I got the Michael Jackson down.
Yeah.
That thing. He's got a little.
Yeah, that's great. You're right. We should have
gone. Tippity tappish. Yeah, I'm giving you.
Well, there go our comp tickets to this show.
Totally ruined. What's the Chris Brown story?
Chris Brown, you know, was accused of rape earlier this week and was detained by police in Paris. They didn't officially release him. They did actually officially. They didn't officially arrest him, but they did release him. They returned his passport. There are no conditions about him leaving the country right now. So you'd think after all that, you'd hightail it out of that country as soon as possible, right? He's still there. He was seen shooting a music video last night, and he's got some other commitments, we're told. So he'll remain in Paris after all this, and he's thinking about suing the woman.
Yeah, that's the defamation
who accused him of all this, of defamation.
Isn't she a local?
She is.
I don't like his chances.
Well, it says something, though. I read the story that they didn't charge him, and however they do it in Paris, where they let you, essentially what you just said, giving the passport back, gives an indication that they don't feel confident in this case, that there is some sort of setup. And Chris Brown says he didn't even spend any time with this woman, wasn't anywhere near alone with
her. Yeah, but here's the thing. We were talking about this off the air. How many times do you have to have some woman accuse you of an attack or violence?
Absolutely.
It can't all be a coincidence.
Chris Brown finds himself in precarious situations often, and he needs to find a new crew to hang out if he keeps getting set up like this.
Dean, helpful texter from the 847 says, Steve, indictment rhymes with excitement.
Ooh! Oh! I wonder what those French officials, how they handled that discussion.
The Chris Brown must be locked up.
I don't have any evidence.
We really should have rehearsed this segment.
Would you care for more wine, please? avez-vous fromage?
See, that's where you lost me. You had me at avez-vous, you lost me at fromage.
You said cheese, right?
That is cheese. The Americans like to say le cheese.
What did Alec Baldwin plead guilty to?
He pleaded guilty to aggravated assault.
Is this what? Which aggravated parking, assault? Is this the parking one or the camera one? Or
no, that was the. Wait, let me check my file.
Yeah,
Alec Baldwin charges that have gone on.
So this is the parking one, ruined one.
Yeah, he pleaded guilty to not assault, but harassing a man over a dispute over a parking place. They looked over the video. Turned out he did pretty much harass this guy. But he agreed to a plea deal, and what he has to do is attend a one-day anger management class. I figure that should be enough to pretty much solve his problems, right?
Mm-hmm. What, you spend anger management always works, Dean.
Six, 7 hours maybe in an anger management class, you're fixed.
Problem solved.
Problem solved.
I know the online motor vehicle moving violation course that I was forced to take has kept me from driving poorly.
That's right.
Billie Jean is not my lover. She's just a girl who claims that I am the one, but the kid is not my son. I'm just clearing up these Michael Jackson mysteries as I go on.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I thought it was the Chad kid is not my son.
Yeah, well, it was because the song, you heard the song right around the Hanging Chad time after the 2000 election.
I'm staying out of this because I would like to see this musical when it comes to show.
Wouldn't it be great if they didn't even let you in? Carrie Underwood is a mom times three.
She has had a baby boy, which is delightful. The baby boy's name is?
Jacob.
Jacob, waiting for the computer.
Oh, sorry.
Jacob Brian Fisher. She and her husband, Mike, and little son, Isaiah. We're all on hand, and it's significant because she has publicly spoken of having three miscarriages in the last 2 years. So it's been tough for their family. Very happy for them. Very healthy, bouncing baby boy. They actually bounced the boy, but
yeah, they posted photos.
Yeah,
you know?
Horrible idea.
Yeah.
They posted pictures, and she has no makeup on. And so I was zooming in see if I could see the scar on her lip. Yeah, but I couldn't. It's a kind of a blurry-ish photo, so you can't see it.
And I'll say this. I'm happy for her. I can never be fully happy for him because he once was a Nashville Predator. So, you know, I just can't. I can't drop the gloves on this one.
Wow. Hockey hate.
I was going to say, if you're not a hockey fan and you just heard that, I was like, I'm listening. He was a Nashville Predator?
Yeah.
It took me a second to be like, what is that? Is that the Nashville Predator story?
Why didn't the police stop him? And the Bieber-Baldwin wedding. I've not gotten my invitation.
Well, you haven't because they've only sent out save the date cards. They were going to have they married in a civil ceremony last September, but they were going to have a big formal ceremony, but they postponed it. They put it on hold. Uh-oh, is there trouble in this marriage? No, there's not, but it makes a great headline to say it that way.
Does he need a new tattoo somewhere?
He needs to get a date on which his family and friends can all agree.
Oh.
Turns out they picked a date and nobody could show up. So now they've picked another. They're looking for another date, and Bieber says it's going to be even bigger than before. It's going to be even more people before, a bigger party than before.
Now, are they going to want me to do the wedding? I mean, I haven't heard.
Do you do vanity ceremonies?
I generally don't, but I'd make an exception for this.
Yeah. No, they're already married. I don't think they need an ordained minister. Ordained minister is the correct.
So I just go to the reception?
You just have Master Charlie.
I love how it's going to be bigger because I saw that the list was 400 that we're told pump the brakes on the March 1st date.
That's how many people hang out with Bieber when he goes to a club.
And more on entertainment will continue with L.A. stories on Monday. Dean's also talking this morning on TV about the new Weezer album. And
it's an all cover album. You know how they did the song Africa that everybody went crazy over? Yeah. They've done a whole cover album now with...
They did Tony Basil's Mickey.
Great song.
Yeah, it's an
I don't think that one's there. But they have many other songs from the 80s. Take Me On.
They sing those
Sweet Dreams
well.
Are Made of This. Hmm. Paranoid. They did Paranoid by Black Sabbath song.
Did they do Billie Jean? Because Billie Jean's not my lover. She's just a girl who claims
you know
that I'm
They do Don't Stop Till You Get Enough. They did. They did do that.
They
on
did.
The new album.
Yep. Yeah. Well, Keep the Force something. I forgot that part already. All right. Well, thank you, Dean. And we will have a great trip to L.A.
I will speak. Are we going to speak to you tomorrow?
Yes, you're calling. Yeah, you're calling in.
Yeah. What's today? Is today Thursday?
Today's Thursday. It's been a weird week. I'll give you that.
Am I on tomorrow?
Dean is
getting
up.
Well, that's up for debate.
Here, I got one more really, really quick entertainment story just popped up on my feed that today would have been the 70th birthday for John Belushi.
Oh.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Isn't that interesting?
Crazy. I wonder what a 70-year-old John Belushi would be like.
Right.
Food fight.
That's all.
Pretending he's a zit.
If he would have gone with like a lame sitcom thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Like the other, like what?
He would have been one of the 2.5 men.
I don't think John Belushi ever would have had a cute kid next door and a forced love interest. I just don't think that would happen.
He'd be like in Last Man Standing. He'd be like Tim Allen.
Hey, it's time for Cuckoo with John Belushi. No, I don't think so.
John Belushi talk show. Hey, John Belushi's dancing through the audience like
Between
Ellen.
Two Ferns with John Belushi. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Don't leave on a trip till tomorrow.
74. If I'm still alive, I'm dealing with that frigid weather, I'll call you tomorrow.
Sunblock. And we're back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
All right, 8:43. Gary Chico, for some reason, wants to be the mayor. He doesn't have a big enough headache on his hand, and he joins us in studio now. Good morning to you.
Hi, Steve. How are you? Good
nice
to be
to
with
see you. Listen, anybody who wants this job is taking on a lot, and unfortunately, I got to hit you with a topical question right away. How in God's name did
he drinking decaf coffee?
That's not the one.
Okay.
How does any alderman stand up and go, "Hey, we're family"? And family doesn't talk about other people. So why anybody wearing a wire? Yeah, that's not what we do. I'm just outraged.
Good impression, by the way.
Yeah, well, I used to be in the mob. I can't believe that attitude. I mean, that's the thing you're going to have to clean up.
Yeah, I think the citizens are getting pretty fed up with what they're seeing, which is why I called for two very dramatic changes in the way we do business. One, I want to end the principle of aldermanic prerogative. I don't want any one alderman having unilateral power to decide the fate of a project as small as a permit and as large as the Lincoln Yards or Community 78. I think that's wrong. We need professional scrutiny of these matters. You can certainly incorporate the community's opinion, but you have to take all of that power out of one
person. How do you take it away?
We could change the laws. Change it.
But you got to get those that benefit from the laws to vote for the new law.
Well, I think people expect this kind of change, to be honest.
So we need public pressure.
Absolutely. And by the way, I'm going to call for a fairly dramatic change to the way we do business here. I want to put some of these things on binding referendum. I don't expect the city council is going to take these initiatives
on
their own.
Right.
Hold on, I got another one for you, as long as we're talking about tough things to do. I want to ban all outside income. You're going to be an alderman in this city. Mm. That's all you're going to do.
I like that.
You're going to make $120,000. This isn't chump change, by the way.
No, you can live on that. Absolutely.
$120,000 a year, all you do is the work for the people of Chicago.
Right.
If I win the mayor's office in Chicago, I will only do that job and take no other income.
That's the way it should be.
Absolutely. But those are not going to be easy things to do.
We
may need a referendum to make it happen.
Every year, we sign a compliance agreement, as corporations have these all over the place. And the compliance agreement says, if you make a nickel outside of the money we pay you, you need to disclose it to us, and then we get to decide if it's something that's contradictory to what happens. That's what the agreement we make for taking the job. It's the least a public servant could do.
I like it. I think it's a good idea. You know, we have a certain amount of disclosures right now, but they never really go far enough. And so people really don't have a sense of what you're doing if you're in government right now. And so I think there's an awful lot of room for improvement.
I like it.
I've recommended these two changes. I think we may need a ballot initiative that's binding by the citizens
totally
of this
agree.
People to make it happen.
Yeah, the public is needed. And the thing is, you won't get any Christmas cards from the aldermen, but you're probably fine in that area anyway.
Look, we're not supposed to. We can be friends. We're supposed to be professional colleagues doing the work of the people of this city.
Yeah, what a crazy idea.
Mr. Chico, one alderman in particular, Alderman Burke, who's had a lot of trouble in the past couple months here, has endorsed you for mayor. What does that mean? What is your relationship with Alderman Burke, and is that a good thing to have someone who is under federal investigation to be endorsing you for mayor?
I've made no secret that I've known Alderman Burke for a long time. I grew up on the southwest side of the city, and he's been a fixture there for decades. When we say he's endorsed me, I've said to people, look, I've had people every day come up to me in this city, people known and unknown, saying you're the most qualified person to be mayor in this city based on what you've done for the city over the years. That's what Alderman Burke said. I think we stand on our own 2 feet, each of the candidates in this race. And you see this happening to this one, this happening to that one. We stand on our own 2 feet and our own records. I'm proud of the record of delivering results for the citizens of this city, whether I've been in the mayor's office before, the Chicago Public Schools, Chicago Park District, the State Board of Education, and the Chicago City Colleges. You keep your eye on the ball, you do the work for the citizens, and you move on.
You've had a tremendous, there's no doubt looking at your resume from Mayor Daley to Mayor, to like you said, working for different departments. My question, we were just discussing this last hour. Right now, what you see with what's happening with the scandal around Alderman Burke and the names that are running for office, that is there a chance that the voters may say, you know what, it's time for someone else? We've seen these names before. We've seen names like Preckwinkle, Mendoza,
yeah.
Chico. And
Chico hasn't been elected to anything. Let's be clear.
He's run for a couple things. But the question is, how do you distance yourself? Or if there is going to be that sentiment in Chicago this time around, how do you make sure that you're not grouped in with those names?
Well, I trust the voters. I think the voters are smart, and they can see through what's going on here. I haven't been elected to anything. All I've done is answer the call when asked to serve. I want to do that again, and I hope to have the support of the citizens of this city.
And I want to get to why you want to be mayor, but Pat Brady's here. I know you've known Pat off and on through the years, and I thought Pat brought up a good question. Well, listen, judgment could be a part of this race. Pat had a good thought off the air that I thought he should
bring up.
And been
a fan a long time, Mr. Chico. We talk all about these things that are important, the reform, the corruption. What's your economic growth agenda for the city? Because that, to me, is
sure.
the biggest.
And before you get to that answer, the backstory on the question was we had a lot of people leaving Chicago.
Sure.
People leave in Illinois, which spurred the question.
Sure. And it's tragic that we have to be the largest city in America losing population. But it's not just losing population. Our schools have lost 80,000 students in enrollment. It's cost us a fortune.
Sure.
We have a built-in fixed cost of buildings, even staff.
Mm-hmm.
And with 80,000 students down, that's cost us about $500 million in revenue.
It's incredible.
To Pat's question about what we do for economic development in Chicago, we need to rebuild the city. We are carrying this program forward, running the city of Chicago, with massive parts of the city that have had no investment for 5 decades. That's ridiculous. We have to go to the west side of Chicago, the south side of Chicago, and rebuild these communities. How do you do it? Big and small. Let's take some commercial strips. I was out on East 79th Street just a few weeks ago. Vacancy, 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 vacancy. How are you going to run the operation of the city of Chicago with all of that property sitting there vacant? If we can come up with $2.3 billion, cobble that together to lure Amazon, the richest company on the face of the earth, we can come up with a fraction of that to help entrepreneurs get started in our storefronts. Is it going to be 100% that every one of them successful? No. Can we give them a good start and hope that we get a coffee shop, a clothing store? I mean, this is what's got to be done on a smaller scale. Every one of these commercial strips should be brought back to life. And if you think it can't happen, I was on Devon Avenue last night. Leaving at 9, 10 o'clock at night. That street's lit up. Every store is open. The restaurants are flourishing. That's Devon Avenue, not Michigan Avenue.
Right.
We can take that principle and bring it to the other parts of the city.
Stand by. More in a moment. By the way, the website for the campaign is?
ChicoForMayor.com.
All right. And F-O-R, not the number. Chico, F-O-R.
F-O-R.
Okay,
F-O-R.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Gary Chico's here, wants to be the next mayor of the city of Chicago. And Pat, mention that Lincoln Forum initiative you guys are doing with the debate.
Yeah, a big debate February 7th, top five. I assume Mr. Chico will be there at the it's at Union League Club, moderated by Mike Flannery. So we're going to narrow the field to get probably a better debate and hopefully talk about these economic development issues.
I think that'll be great. We're averaging almost a forum a night, sometimes two a day, but it's healthy. That means the people want to know what the candidates can offer, and they're concerned about their city.
Do you wake up in the middle of the night answering questions about issues?
My wife asked me about that the other day.
Sit up in a cold sweat, and suddenly you're answering a question that nobody asked?
Yeah. That does happen. It does.
All right, so I've asked every candidate this that comes through, and I'll continue to ask it, because what happens is all these big-picture ideas are great, and they all need to be addressed. But realistically, you can't look at 8 years. You got to look at four. What can you get done in 4 years?
If you look at my record, when I went to the Chicago Public Schools, it was in dire shape in 1995. It's $1.3 billion projected in debt. The teachers and management were constantly fighting. The buildings were falling apart, as chronicled by the Sun-Times, and the academic performance was awful.
Mm-hmm.
In a matter of 2 years, Bill Clinton called it a model for the nation. What did we do? We established labor peace with teachers at not a runaway cost. We rebuilt the physical stock of the buildings. We brought back academic performance where it actually counted again. We raised it 6 years in a row, and the finances were totally repaired. What was in the beginning a $1.3 billion deficit when I left in 2001 was a $345 million surplus. This can be done. You have to have the experience. You have to know where to cut. You have to know where to generate, and you got to know how to get people incorporated behind the program.
Yeah, you have to actually be able to make deals, and we've never lived in a more I'm right, you're wrong type of society. How do you break that wall?
It's been my experience. I work with people. I reached out to the head of the teachers union in those days, a very nice man named Tom Reese, and we forged agreements because we realized that was what was really important. Obviously, his members' interests were important, but it's the families and the students of this city. If they don't feel they're getting served, not much else matters. Mm-hmm. I've had a history of reaching across aisles, reaching across interest groups to bring people together to make this city better, and I'm ready to do it again.
I hope I get this right. Didn't you broker a big peace deal up in a northern county not too long ago?
When I was chairman of the State Board of Education, I was dispatched up to Waukegan that was incurring about a 21-day strike. In about 3 hours, we had it resolved.
Going to send you to the Middle East.
Mr. Chico, when it comes to CPS, and you talk about that takeover, and so famous in Chicago history, but on this campaign trail, we've heard a lot of different candidates talk about a need to rebuild or kind of blow up CPS and start anew. Where are you at with the Chicago Public Schools as it stands today?
Well, I wouldn't blow it up. I don't think it's that bad. I think Janice Jackson and Frank Clark have done a nice job in steering the school system. I think they're good people that mean well. I think there's clearly improvements that need to be made. Every year counts. You can't take a year off. When I left the Chicago Public Schools, the teacher pension fund was 100% funded. 100%. That doesn't mean you take a break for the next 5 years. Every year you analyze what's required to invest in the pension fund, how their performance did, etc. But now the issue is this. Parents across the city don't feel they have easy access to an education opportunity that's excellent. And I want to bring that back. When I was there, we started so much of the renaissance of the Chicago Public Schools, building 74 new buildings, including Northside Prep, Jones, Peyton, and Gwendolyn Brooks, to be added to Whitney Young and Lane. Mm-hmm. That's kept thousands of families in this city. Now we have to go. I've called for the largest expansion of vocational and technical education because not everybody's going to a four-year college.
Yeah, but would you disagree with CPS closing the schools that they did back in 2011?
I don't like the way it was done. I think it was too many at one time. And most importantly, and most egregious in my view, is we didn't do anything with the buildings once they were closed. You could have put affordable housing in there. You could have put mental health facilities, retail, all kinds of uses.
And better communication with the communities that are losing.
Absolutely. Those were done unilaterally, Steve. You can't do these things unilaterally. You need to talk to people.
It's if you're going to take something away in a community, you got to tell people what you're going to do instead of that.
Especially as important as a school that's been there for 100 years.
Yeah, with family, my generation, my dad's generation, all of it.
Look, I went to the public schools. My parents went to the public schools. My kids went to the public schools. This is in our blood. You can't just strip us of it overnight. There's got to be conversation. There's got to be reasoning about why we're doing things. Look, we have 150,000 extra seats right now than what we need because that's how many students we've lost. I want to rebuild that student population. I think that'll show us that we're appealing to the parents of this city, and it'll also make us revenue from the state aid formula. We can get this back on track and make people believe again that the public schools can work for them and their families.
We're going to quickly run out of time here. You know, there's a big question that doesn't always have an easy answer, and that's, is it faster to find money by cutting and taking care of bloat that's already there, or by doing things right that haven't been done right before, and the money will come in? What's the answer for Chicago?
All the above. You cannot. There,
which
you don't
is
have the,
bigger? Which side?
You have to generate revenue, okay? That's the first order of business. We've called for a casino.
You can't cut your way to success.
No, there's not enough there. You won't be able to do it. But it's part of the equation. I've called for a casino in Chicago that the city owns, be regulated by the state gaming board.
Where would you put it?
Pardon me?
Where would you put it?
Oh, I think there's a number of places, but the southeast side of Chicago isn't a bad place to do competitive battle right next to the horseshoe and help that community out that needs some economic development.
That's going to be up this session, right?
It's going to be up this session, but Chicago needs to have a front and center seat at the table to make sure that we're the owner and that we get the revenue projection out of it we expect. Legalized marijuana generates revenue. As reassessing these skyscrapers, commercial office space skyscrapers, needs to be done fairly. We're losing hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars of assessed value that should be going into our treasury. It's wrong. I also want to eliminate waste. The Infrastructure Trust, $2 million a year, hasn't done anything in 7 years. Put the money back into mental health. I've called for the elimination of the clerk and the treasurer's office. Let's face it, all those things are launching pads for politicians. We need to incorporate those into the government. You don't need to have a clerk's office to get a city sticker.
No.
Get it off a software program. The treasurer's office, folded into the finance department, and have legitimate auditors audit our funds. That's all we need. By the way, that's probably $150 million in savings over the last 7-8 years right there.
I feel like you're Kevin Kline and Dave. You didn't even have the legal pad out. You just found $150 million.
Well, my secret weapon is Maury, if you remember that movie, the guy with the legal
pad
who couldn't figure out the federal budget.
Justin, last question.
You know, a lot of these candidates are running because they don't like where the city is at, and they're running an anti-Rahm Emanuel campaign. Mm-hmm. Are you running an anti-Rahm Emanuel campaign?
No, I'm running a pro-campaign for Chicago. I'm the eternal optimist. I grew up in this city. My parents grew up in this city. My grandfather was in this city, and my kids are in this city. I saw what it could perform, how it could perform, and the opportunity it could make for people. We just need to take that and make it available to everybody. Every part of this city needs to be brought into what's going to be our future. I'm optimistic. I've seen this before because I've experienced turnaround before, like CPS, like the city colleges, and even at the State Board of Education. We started a rewrite of the education funding formula that brought hundreds of millions more into CPS. This can be done, and I believe I have the experience and leadership to do it.
We'll talk to you again before the big day. Good luck with waking up in the middle of the night.
Thank you.
And appreciate you coming over.
Thank you.
Website again.
ChicoForMayor.com.
ChicoForMayor.com. Coming up, stories that matter. Steve Rzanich in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, and SEAL-TV joins us. Hi to you guys.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I like digging holes and hiding things inside them. When I grow old, I hope I won't forget to find them. Cause I've got memories and travel like gypsies in the night.
How is it that the most advanced country in the world, on the planet, could be one of the last to elect a woman to be in charge? Rebecca Sive joins us now. Her book is Voter In, Your Guide to Electing Our First Woman President. We have right now, and welcome, Rebecca. Nice to
Thank
see you.
You.
We have Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, Tulsi Gabbard, Kirsten Gillibrand, Amy Klobuchar, maybe.
Right.
All in. And on the Republican side, there's still talk Nikki Haley
yes.
might decide to run.
Absolutely.
Are these in the, ladies, is it their time, or are they inspired by the Hillary Clinton 2016 run?
Well, it's probably a combination of things, but these women have been out there for a long time. Harris and Klobuchar have been prosecutors. Gillibrand was in Congress. Warren in the Senate.
Right.
So it's some combination of this is something I've always wanted to do, to be a leader, and the opportunity that the Clinton-Trump election has provided.
We have to identify, or I should say own, I guess would be the word, the fact that it's harder for women is because there's not a level playing field. If a woman is loud and forceful, she's bitchy or screechy.
Yes.
If a man is loud and forceful, he's authoritative.
Exactly.
How do candidates get by that?
Well, I think that, you know, when Warren, the first piece out of the box, when Warren announced a big piece in D.C. was about, is she likable enough, and comparing her to right. Clinton, saying she wasn't likable. And then Warren handled it with humor. She got on the quiet car of the train and said, I understand people like women better when they're in the quiet car.
That's funny.
So I thought that was, you know, so one thing is humor. One thing is this isn't about having a beer. This is about dealing with the serious problems our country has. And here are my qualifications.
You know, there's a thing that happens that it seems like a little thing, but I think it's a big thing. Because of just the anatomy of men and the anatomy of women, and by the way, I'm not talking about below the waist, I'm talking about above the waist, you don't need to yell at a rally and get accused of the stereotypical things that people throw out there. The microphones work. And a strong, confident, authoritative woman who says what she says should be instructed not to push it.
You know,
work within the limits that you can't control.
Well, one of the things I saw recently was that I can't remember the exact percentage, but a majority of Americans are comfortable with a woman president.
Absolutely.
There were tens of millions of men as well as women who voted for Hillary Clinton. So we've sort of, my view is we've kind of done it once. We can do it again in 2020 if we're so motivated.
Rebecca, there's something happening in this country because you're seeing with women's marches and just this past weekend, but we've seen in the last couple of years millions of women and men, but women coming out and making their voice heard.
Right.
They become more of a voting bloc. Do you see that this is not necessarily just against the president of the United States, but this is a move in which, it almost is a demand for a woman president.
There's no question about it. You're absolutely right. I think that the realization that a very qualified woman was defeated by what's clear now to many, an unqualified man for that particular job.
Unqualified would be an upgrade.
All right. Couldn't agree with you more.
Welcome to the Steve Cochran Show.
Thank you. I agree. So, yes, that created this outpouring. There were over 250,000 people coming right outside our window here down Michigan Avenue. So, yes, there's this combination of a push and a pull, and the idea that the people who are on it will keep moving and keep working.
There are some issues that are very specific to women in this country. Of course, you know, healthcare becomes one. But another is, I think, the disparity in pay, as we see in the corporate levels. Are those the kind of issues that when you talk about the need for a woman president, that the hope would be that a woman would be able to address some of these societal issues that continually be brought up on the campaign trail but are swept under the rug as if nothing can be done about it?
You know, on the issue of equal pay, when my speeches, I've been saying to people, and I get a lot of nodding heads, I don't believe there's a woman in this country, whatever her job has been, made to CEO, who hasn't experienced wage discrimination. So you're absolutely right. I think that issues like equal pay and access to health care are fundamental platforms on which women can come together and look at the women candidates and see that they've had a long history on these issues, all of them, and are committed to do something.
Now, you mentioned the Donald Trump effect on the emergence of people being ready more for a female president.
Right.
Had this not happened, were we not ready, you know, in the last election, and we needed this horrible thing to happen in order to now we're ready?
That's interesting.
Yeah, that's really, I think we were ready. I think the proof is that Clinton won the popular vote. It's only because of the constitutional anomaly of the Electoral College.
And some bad campaign decisions, and that's it.
Well, there may, you know, they all make bad campaign decisions, but, you know, do you win the game or not? And she won the popular vote game. So I think that it didn't require, to answer your question,
the current administration
to create the sentiment that, yes, we can have a woman president. We like this platform. She talked about equal pay, to go back to Justin's point. The president really didn't. So I think that, you know, my view is we did it once. We can do it again this time for real.
Rebecca Sive is here. Her new book, and by the way, she speaks all over the country, and she's an expert on all things to try to get women elected to the highest place. Well, it's true. Voter In, Your Guide to Electing Our First Woman President. Buy three copies, one for you, one because you'll lose one, and one for your mom or your sister, or maybe your brother as well. So if we grant that it's an unfair playing field and it's not level.
I believe one of her chapters is the future is nasty.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah.
Do women
so,
have
like,
to,
it's not going to be a, okay, now a we're cakewalk. Ready. Let's just make this yeah. happen. Yeah.
Do women candidates have to demand equality as opposed to expecting it'll be given based on qualifications?
I think American history has shown, unfortunately, that people who have sought equality have had to fight for it, whether it's people of color or women or disabled people. So I don't think equality gets handed. I think you assert your right to equality, and then you fight to get it. So my expectation is that women candidates for whatever office have to fight for equal opportunity.
What about the other countries that actually have elected women to prime right. ministerships or to the highest office in whatever yes. country they're in, who are generally believed to be not as developed as this country? What do they get that we don't?
Well, in most of the countries where we've seen women CEOs, women executives in political office, they are prime ministers selected, voted on by their party, not by the general electorate. So if you look at Margaret Thatcher or Theresa May or Golda Meir or Indira Gandhi, those are all countries with parliamentary mm-hmm. systems. I think you're right. There are some other countries that are much smaller that have had popular elections of women. But it's not the norm anywhere. And I also believe, being, my friends will laugh when they hear this, an eternal optimist, that once we elect one woman, and I talk about this in Vote Her In, I think that the doors will open to executive power for women all over the place.
Not to take away the legacy of Mayor Byrne, but we're seeing two women here in Chicago yes. right now, and Tody Prinkwell and Preckwinkle, Susana Mendoza, but also other candidates yes. as well that are running campaigns. There could be a woman of color who could be the mayor of Chicago,
exactly.
which is hard to think of for all the dailies that have been here for the last quarter century. What should we look for as if we want to be educated on how women face a tougher
yes.
road? I mean, we see with Senator Harris right now, Kamala Harris, there's already talk about where she was born.
Exactly.
You're starting to get to this point where what are the
buzzwords. She's got the double, because yeah. she's got an ethnic background and
right.
a female. So,
are some of the things we should pay attention to as an electorate to show that the press or the opponent,
right.
Opposition party are not being fair to a woman running for president?
Great question, Justin. I think we should look at questions to start with of likability. Right? That question was not asked of the male candidates who've announced in the way it was asked of Elizabeth Warren. Appearance, you've heard lots of comments, both positive and, well, what's this all about Kamala Harris, about age in the case of Elizabeth Warren. So there are these kind of traditional ways of measuring women. You all have to be young and beautiful and skinny, which is, of course, totally ridiculous, but broader measures that should not be applied. And I think that if you're in a conversation where someone says, oh, gee whiz, I just don't like Elizabeth Warren, well, what is it that you like so much about the guys who are running? Are you evaluating these people equally? So I would say, male or female, if you're in a conversation, just say, everyone deserves a fair shake, right?
Yeah, pick the best candidate.
Exactly. Look at these people and their qualifications. Look at what they've done. Look at the policies they've enunciated.
The irrational anger for Hillary Clinton last time was just out of the box.
Right.
What the analogy you just brought up, I brought up to friends of mine many times. She was eminently qualified.
Right.
And again, I thought she ran a terrible campaign. But having said that, she did win 3 million more votes.
Exactly.
And her qualifications were clear.
Right.
She made plenty of mistakes on the way up. But the anger that I heard from people was, I don't like her. And when you challenge them
right.
on what is it you don't like and how is Trump
right.
better, they had no answer.
There's a funny, funny piece published by McSweeney's a couple weeks ago. I'll send it over. About, you know, this exactly what you're talking about, Steve, that the first thing was, well, I just don't like her. I can't really tell you why, but hey. And now it's, Elizabeth, name your candidate, right? It's what I see it as, I also talk about this in the book a lot, is about the fear of women having ultimate executive power. A woman's going to tell me what to do?
You know what's idiotic?
That ain't happening.
You know, I know we're out of time here, but what's idiotic about that is we rightfully listen to women in our lives all the time. We listen
right.
to our moms. We listen to our sisters. We
Absolutely.
Listen to women all the time. We listen to our daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And we're better for it.
Well,
So why is it we're afraid of having decisions from a woman at the top?
I think because the power, you know, the political
power. It's the last chance for us men to control things.
Well, Steve, let's talk about that some more.
Rebecca, you're welcome here anytime. I like the work you're doing, and I hope you'll continue, because I think there is probably a better chance than ever before that we're going to crack that shell, break that ceiling.
Great.
And there also needs to be some credit given to these women because of every position they've held prior to maybe running for the race, you know, president, has been with these opposition, which is more difficult than the male path. Yeah. And so they are that much stronger and smarter and more experienced than, say, somebody who was on the male side of, you know, it's something to consider. It's an extra qualification that I don't think is given, women are given credit for.
This is a really important point, to the point that we listen to women. A lot of women have a lot more experience. They work their way up the ladder. These women who are running for president are proof of that. They have the experience. They know what they're doing.
And Rebecca just said something that I hope will ring in your ears, regardless of how you feel about Hillary Clinton or the book, and that is elect the best person.
Yes.
Don't assume it's a man.
Right.
And don't assume it's a woman. Elect the best person, but be open to the idea of one of these women or another woman who we may not even have in the race yet.
Right. Absolutely.
Rebecca Sive. The book is called Voter In, Your Guide to Electing Our First Woman President, available wherever books are sold. Or if you're a friend of Rebecca's, tell her you want one for free. Nice to see you.
Thank you. It's
Thanks for coming over.
Thanks, Rebecca.
When you say they're older, what age group are we talking?
They're 60s.
Wow.
Yeah, they're
old. They're dead.
Oh, yeah. No way.
But she's an old lady. I mean, look at her. She's old. You can't just take her stuff. She's too old.
They're older. I wasn't trying to.
Yeah. They're not old, but they're older.
No, older. This old guy?
He's already achieved so much. He has a 5-year plan.
What is it? Don't die?
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Well, my old friend David Hochberg's here. What's up there, old guy?
We're doing good. Thanks for having me. It's a great day to be alive.
It is a great day to be alive. I don't care what the temperature
tomorrow,
is.
Not so much.
Not so much.
David Hochberg's here. Now, I don't want to get in a whole long discussion about your new deal, because I want to talk about what really is going to benefit people. But let's just put this question to bed.
Sure.
Because I think there's a very simple, logical answer.
How do I maintain this level of good-lookingness on a daily basis?
Actually, that's not on the list.
No? Okay.
Just your new arrangement, which we'll explain, is simply because?
Pearl Mortgage is being acquired by a company out east, and we decided that we didn't want to go with the company that's acquiring Pearl Mortgage. So we went with another company that we felt offered a better opportunity for our loan officers, and the loan officers felt the same way because nobody forced them to come with
it's
us.
It's just business.
It's a business decision for our team members and the families of the team members. It's that simple.
I worked with David, just like people change jobs before you were at Pearl, you were at another place too. And that's when I was buying my house, and it was a seamless transition.
It was about the same time.
It was exactly, and it worked out
perfectly. Amy's loan, just my daughter, Amy, her loan
Ross
just closed.
Did a great job.
Yeah, and you guys took care of that.
Yeah.
So it's business as usual.
Yes.
If you are interested in Team Hochberg or have done business in the past, the new company is called?
Is called Homesite Financial. They're based out of Maryland. They're a $4.4 billion origination company, which
is
twice the size as what we were at Pearl. And more technology, same team. So everybody that helped your daughter and Ross get her loan approved, we brought them over. They all resigned and came over, and we're up and running just as before. It's the same. It's the same outside of the truck, as I like to say. It's just a brand new chassis and a brand new stronger motor that enables us to do more loans and offer more products and get loans done faster for your listeners.
Topic number one,
yes, sir,
is.
Topic number one is, we are having a seminar at a country club you might be familiar with.
White Eagle Golf Club?
Yes.
That's a great golf course. That's in Naperville. It's right off of 59 and 85th or 87th. Let me tell you, it's a great golf course.
3,400 White Eagle.
It's a great banquet facility this time of year, because golf is not easy to play right now.
Yeah, we had a meeting there. Team Hochberg had a meeting there with John Price's team in Naperville to learn about the system that we're rolling out to realtors. It's a loan conversion system that enables realtors that are buying online leads to convert those leads, quadruple the conversion rate. We have a realtor by the name of Ryan Glover, who works for Remax Professionals, who turned his online lead conversion from 5% year one, 7% percent conversion.
You're getting deep in the weeds here.
But it jumped to 20%
right.
The third year with our system.
But my point is, for realtors, this is all understandable. They don't need Rosetta Stone to get this. They need to come to the seminar.
And it's free. It's a complimentary lunch next Thursday.
White Eagle Golf Club.
And all you have to do is go to 56david.com to register. You have to be a licensed realtor.
And you got to pre-register.
We have an Eventbrite sign up. Just go there, sign up, and we'll tell you all about our system. It's free. It's a complimentary lunch. It's a complimentary system.
I don't care how long you've been a realtor. You can always learn more.
And if you're buying online leads or any type of leads and you want to increase your conversion like this realtor Ryan did and triple his income, I can't guarantee you're going to triple your income, but he went from $980,000 in sales in year one to $9.8 million in year three using our system during year three. So it works.
But this isn't a Glengarry Glen Ross situation where Alec Baldwin's going to come in and start selling the leads and you win steak knives.
Leads are for closers.
Second place is you're fired.
No, it's a great.
It's not that at all.
It's not that at all.
Third place, you're fired.
You got the leads. You got the Glengarry Glen Ross leads.
Second place, steak knife. Third place, you're fired. That's
right. So it's an opportunity to learn about a system that works, and that will hopefully quadruple your lead conversion, like it did with this realtor Ryan Glover.
Are you still going to do in the new space?
Yes.
That you're in.
Yes.
Are you still going to do? I got some credit. Problems.
Sure, we're still doing that right now.
Yeah. Are you still going to do, I got some college loan issues that I need help with. So if it involves money, you're going
to
help.
I talked to a 24-year-old individual buying his first house. He just got promoted from inside sales to outside sales. He's moving to Peoria at 7:15 this morning, driving down. Okay, what does he have to do? He's got limited credit. So the first thing I told him was, number one, call up your credit card companies and ask them to triple the limits. Why? Because if they say, all we could do is double... You still win. I asked him to call his HR department to get his 2 years worth of commission so we could average the commissions. And then I gave him a breakdown of the payment. It'll be about $1,500 a month for a $200,000 home in Peoria. And then also he's going to meet with his tax preparer because he just received his W-2. I said, ask your tax preparer what you're going to be able to write off because I'm not a tax professional. I don't give tax advice. But you are going to be able to write off in his tax bracket. Most likely, his tax preparer will tell him this, the interest on principal and interest you pay, you can write off the interest in his tax bracket, and the real estate taxes. So I said, find out what you're going to be able to write off so you could go to your HR department to adjust your withholdings so you get more money back. He only wanted to spend $1,100, but if his mortgage payment is like $15 and he gets $400 back because he increases withholdings, he's still at $1,100.
Yeah, and one of the things I like, full disclosure, Hochberg's a pal, but I like about what you've always done is you never go, why don't you look into that? You tell people specifically what they need to do to deal with their problem. You don't do the work for them.
Correct.
You ask them to bring you numbers and things that you can use. But you say, here's what you got to do. Here's step one. Here's step two. Here's step three.
This is a participatory sport, right? I mean, I could give you the playbook. You've got to be able to run the play. I mean, it's really that simple. If you follow the plays that we give you in the playbook, your credit scores will get better.
Preach it.
It's pretty simple stuff, but people have to put it down. Listen, I've been trying to lose the same 50 pounds. No, I'm just telling you. Look at me. I've been trying to lose the same 50 pounds for the past 20 years. It's easier said than done. Put down the fork. Exercise more. I exercise a lot. I can't put down the fork. I just ate a delicious chocolate chip muffin over at across the river.
Oh, is that right?
Because it was there, and I passed it and said, eat me. So I had to stop. I'm like, God, you look so good. And it said, please eat me. So I had to eat the donut.
By the way, it's right next to please eat me.
Right.
They're two separate shops.
Right. It was delicious, but I'm not going to lose any weight.
Right.
I should have just went out the other door, but it's like a magnet to steel.
The way stress burns calories, I would think you should be ectomorph.
Yeah, I should be pretty good. I should be 80 pounds if stress burns calories, but that's a whole nother story.
All right, well, What do you want to talk about when we come back?
Foot on the scale.
We've got cannolis in here.
Oh, thanks, Steve. That's great.
Stand by 1 second, Steve, with your cannolis. He's going to be right down there.
Here, let's talk about what people could do today to prepare themselves to buy a home in the spring.
Oh,
because that is big. People are getting a ton of calls. Hey, I want to do this. I want to do that. And nobody.
Good tease.
Yeah, good tease, right? So let's do that.
You could also mention how with the government shutdown, there's these agriculture loans and things like that.
Sure,
that
USDA loans. Yeah. Sure, no problem.
Yeah, okay. Look at you and Farmer Sandberg.
Yeah, bring it on.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
All right, David Hochberg is here. If I'm going to buy a house in the spring, Well, first off, Team Ockberg, what do people do to get a hold of you? You want your microphone on?
Yeah, that would help if people could hear what to do. You could go to very easy, 56david.com. It's also, it just brought to my attention by Kevin McDonough, your great, you know, one of your great salespeople. That
new
Mark
dad
Burley,
times three.
I know. He just, did his wife
little
had
girl.
A baby? Oh, little girl. Mazel tov. That's great.
Molly.
That's very nice.
Yeah, Molly's one of our favorite names here on the show.
That's phenomenal. Well, congratulations, Kevin. He wanted me to mention that it was Mark Burley. David.com. So 5'6", the world famous White Sox player.
Right. Yeah, so, why'd you go with 5'6"?
Because I wanted something, because we looked up 800numbers.com, and I wanted something either 5'5", or 5'6", or 4'5", something in
I didn't know 800numbers.com existed.
Yeah, either did
800
I.
number, you go there, and that's how you find it.
Yeah, all the different numbers that are available, you know, came up. So,
there's no numerology thing behind your 5'6" choice?
Well, I guess now Mark Burley. So if there's a trademark associated with that, that's not Mark Burley, it's Lawrence Taylor. And if there's a trademark with that, then it's got nothing to do with nothing. It's 5'6" David. So it's 855-56David or 56David.com. I've spent millions of dollars branding other people's phone numbers and like, idiot, it's about time. If this doesn't work out at Homesite and you need to move someplace else, it's probably a good idea if you had your own phone number.
Okay, that's an off-air conversation just now.
I think we know that this is going to be a gangbusters operation.
Yes. No, we're extremely happy.
All right, so if you want to buy a home in the spring, what do you need to do right now?
You need to start working on your credit and your down payment for and assets for emergency fund, down payment, or closing costs. So the first thing everybody should do right now, if you want to enhance your credit,
write this down, people.
Right, it's very simple. Call up your current credit card companies and ask them to increase the limits on your credit cards, because you decrease your availability by increasing your limits. The other thing that people should do right away if you plan on buying in the spring is pay your credit cards off if you can every single Friday, if you get paid every Friday and you have the money to pay it off every Friday or every payday. That way you keep your balances down to at least 25% of the charges on a weekly basis if you could pay it off every week.
Government employees don't have to do this.
Government employees, well, you've got challenges with, you know, government employees right now, because if they were, they don't have a job.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had the same challenge with state employees. I had a couple of loans going for state reps and state senators when they decided to stop paying them and they couldn't get loans. Okay. So federal employees have some major challenges if they're in the middle of a refinance or buying a home. Nobody thinks about that. It's horrible. Yeah. So enhancing your credit right now and getting your assets in line. If you have mattress money, a shoebox underneath your bed, which a lot of people have. We just talked to a guy who's got $30,000 in a safe. Well, that's great, okay? I don't have any proof that where the 30 grand came from. So if you want to buy a home in the spring, get that money into the bank so it seasons, which means it's in there for at least 60 days, okay? We can't verify mattress money. We can't verify shoebox money. And we have to verify all funds coming into the transaction. So those two things right there, increasing your limits on your credit card. It's a phone call to your credit card company. There's an 800 number on the back of your credit card. Pick it up, tell them who you are, and ask them to triple your limits. If they say no, ask them to double. You still win.
Right. Now, there's some shady mortgage products that are out there now. 07, 08 shady, maybe, maybe not. What should people avoid?
Well, you got to be careful who you work with, okay? And you got to be careful of what you hear, because now I'm hearing, listen, we created water. We have an extended lock and shop policy with the rocket loving lender out there, right? Well, listen, that's been around for years, okay? And be careful of the cost associated with these new fangled products that everybody thinks that they created when it's been around, because they drill you on the costs. So I will tell this for anything. You could be buying a car, right? You could be buying a house. You could be buying a pair of shoes, a pair of underpants. You know, you could be buying a pretzel in the mall. You got to be careful who you're buying each of those products from. So if you think it's too good to be true, it typically is. All right, so just be careful. Consumer, you have to be careful and work with somebody that you know, somebody that you trust. And the best thing a realtor told me about working with online people, that whenever she gets an online, and this was one of the biggest realtors in the city a couple years ago, she's like, whenever I get a pre-qualification, pre-approval from an online lender, she's like, I won't take those people out, because I want to be able to put my hands around the lender's throats and choke them if the transaction goes bad. And online lenders, this realtor said, I can't do that. So I want to work with somebody local. uncle, somebody I have a relationship with, somebody that I can walk into the office and have a cup of coffee with to talk about what's going on.
Yeah, I know people don't want to talk to people anymore, and they want to do everything digitally and all that. When you're talking about the largest purchase you'll ever make in your life, why do you not want to sit down face-to-face and go through it with somebody?
Steve, I've got millions of dollars in advertising trying to figure that answer out. I don't know. You know, listen, I've written spots
about
this.
You want to order socks on Amazon,
socks,
do it. You
right.
don't buy a $300,000 house.
Book socks, underpants, you know, go to Amazon, right? You want to buy toothpaste. You want to buy shampoo, go to Amazon. You're financing a $100, $300, $500, $800, million home.
You don't do that on your phone.
Yeah. Some people do, not which completely ridiculous. Blows my mind.
Ridiculous.
Banks and lenders giving money is usually a strong indicator of where the economy's at. We saw in 08.
Sure.
After that, it was like hard to get loans because there was
everything shut down.
Is it a good predictor? Can you look right now and see where the economy's at based on how much money is flowing?
Well, here, I could tell you that through technology over the past 10 years, it is easier to get a loan right now than it's ever been, right? Back in 07, 08, you had a pulse, you put a mirror underneath your nose, you got fog, somebody could get you a loan. Today, there's technology now where if you have a W-2, if you're W-2 in employment, we could hit a button, an email goes to your employer, it comes back, verifies your employment, no pay stubs, no bank statements, no W-2s, it's all done electronically. Okay, same thing with bank statements. You could go in, sign in online, hit a button, boom, we'll get a verification of deposit back. We don't need any bank statements. So all this stuff happens electronically, and that's why we moved to Homesite, because of the technology, and it enables us to get loans faster, and it makes the mortgage experience, as crazy as that sounds, it is an experience getting a mortgage. You know, some people it's more stressful than others, a lot more enjoyable when you don't have to like kill a couple of trees
right.
to send in
that. Now, that tone you heard was your blood pressure monitor going off,
right.
So that means you have to take your meds again.
I've got
to
go.
Coming up in just a second, though, I know you're excited about this. Steve Bertrand in the Northwestern Medicine
sure.
Newsroom,
that's
and
huge.
He's going to give you stories that matter,
yeah,
but not right now.
Not
pretty
right
soon.
Now.
What's your number at the office?
It's very simple, 5-6, as Kevin McDonough, the sales rep, says here, markburley.com for all you White Sox fans, 5-6-David.com,
mm-hmm.
or it's 8, toll-free, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 855-56-DAVID, and thank you for the opportunity.
And thank you for helping people. There you go, it's David Hochberg. Bill and Wendy are here. How are you two?
Fantastic.
It's David Hochberg.
It is.
Right over there.
Don't look him directly in the eyes.
No, I don't.
Here.
It's not good. You turned to stone.
Big star. Big star. It's super cold outside, and I don't know how to get back to my house because I don't want to go outside.
Just wait. You think this is cold?
Yeah,
that's what
say.
I mean. I think
we're
I'll be here
here
till Monday.
Did you know you could take the pedway from here to your house?
Are you kidding? East St. Louis?
Oh, yeah.
The double head?
Yeah, all the way out there.
Right now it's 19
fantastic.
Degrees, Steve. It's going to get to, in 12 hours' time, it'll be 8
Two.
Degrees.
Oh, okay.
And then in 16 hours, it'll be -1.
Yeah, well, we've been told that tomorrow morning, as you know, I get up at 2 a.m. to start thinking.
Yeah.
I spend 3 hours thinking before I get in the car. But at 5 a.m. when I'm driving in,
yes,
the wind chill will be 25 to 30.
Yes. Right now at 5 a.m., it says on my little app, 0 degrees.
With winds like 20 miles an hour or something.
Yeah, exactly.
But brutal.
The actual temperature, -1.0.
Oh, that's
so
too cold.
I don't know.
Wah, wah.
So I'm just going to say right now, we're, tomorrow's show has been rained out.
I'm walking in and try it out.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to walk.
Oh, that's a good call. It's a good call. Call me from the hospital.
No, I'm going to try it. I'm going to see what happens.
Is bike the drive this weekend?
I've got nude biking thing is this weekend.
Is that this
what
weekend?
Bad timing. Holy cow.
It's the only time you
crazy.
Can get in the calendar, but hey.
You know, that's Dave Ennett there, too. I know you're excited
Dave.
To see David.
Hi.
Hi.
Bill and Wendy.
Hi, Dave Ennett.
You guys are meant to.
I'm in it to win it.
Yeah, there
Thank
you go.
You.
Oh, I can announce the. Well, I don't want to
announce the winner.
Oh, come on!
The surprise people that are going to be in the fight for life, fight for air, life climb, fight life for air climb.
Air climb.
Is it a big
fight
surprise?
Yeah,
oh. He's been teasing us about this. For
describe
like
me tomorrow.
Weeks.
I'll say it tomorrow.
Oh.
No, you do it today.
No, I'll do it tomorrow.
Do it today.
It's not me.
It's
no,
Steve.
It's not.
I saw you practicing in the stairwell.
That wasn't practicing. That was me climbing one flight of stairs.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you look like you meant it.
Is there a hint you can throw out? Just give us a hint.
It's not David Hochberg.
It's not David Hochberg.
Yeah.
Kwame Raoul?
It is. It's Kwame Raoul.
I'm Kwame Raoul.
Excellent.
What are you guys doing today?
We have a cereal mixologist. There's a way to
those
layer
are the ones
your
you have to watch.
Cereal. Ed Farmer will be in the studio with us. And
hey,
Richards.
Cool. What time's that on?
11:05.
That's not good for me.
11:13 with the wind chill.
That's probably more accurate.
See you tomorrow. We'll be frozen. We'll be on then.